All right, everyone, welcome back to the Poor Sports Podcast. It is a special edition today. It is the NFL preview show. It is Wednesday night. The boys are all in studio and we are buzzing. Less than 24 hours until there is regular season NFL football. I'm your host, Jake Kelly, live in studio. Like I said, all three of us, I'm here with Lee Kuzmich. Lee, say what's up to the people.
How's it going, everybody? This is the best time of the year. Every sport is rolling right now.
Absolutely. And we got Jeremy Collins.
Let's go. I'm not as happy as Ezekiel Elliott is today, but I'm almost there.
Hey, so we're going to get into everything NFL today.
We're breaking down every team.
Every single team we're going to break down. So, let's get into it. But first, I just want to start off with a little bit of housekeeping. We really love the love and support that we've got from y'all. Now we need your help. If you've enjoyed this podcast, rate us on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star review and leave a comment, and we will read your comment on the next episode of Poor Sports. You'll get featured on Poor Sports. If you're on Spotify, you've got to slide those fingers over. You've got to do it on Apple Podcasts. Spotify doesn't let you do that. Oh, well, that's how it goes. But anyways, speaking of contributions from Poor Sports listeners, for this episode, we received a number of submissions from Poor Sports out there regarding their favorite NFL teams and how they'll fare this year. So with no further ado, we're going to travel just across the border, and we're going to start with our first submission from Evan Hardy, and he's going to talk to us about the Buffalo Bills.
All right, so for the Buffalo Bills, this year, like many of the past, the Bills' strongest attribute will be their defense. Retaining 11 to 12 starters and a defensive tackle Ed Oliver will surely make them stronger. Most are looking to the Bills to have a top 5 defense, and this is very achievable for this unit. This defense will have its hands full as sophomore QB Allen adjusts to his brand new O-line receiving corps. Hopefully Allen worked on a short mid-range accuracy, surely the acquisition of Cole Beasley will help that. If the offense along with Brian Daboll can click, this team can easily challenge for a playoff spot, along with Singletary, the rookie, having a 1,000-yard rushing season. Our prediction for this team is 8-8 because, you know, it's Buffalo.
All right, Lee, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills this year?
I think he kind of hit the nail on the head there, in all honesty. 8-8. Mm-hmm. You could definitely see that coming there. Their defense is so strong, and 11 or 12 guys coming back, and then the one guy they're adding is Ed Oliver, one of the best pass rushers from Houston last year in the draft, fell all the way to them at 8. I don't know. 8-8 seems right to me. What about you, Jer?
I like the record. I don't think Singletary is getting 1,000 yards. I don't think in any world that ever happens.
Well, you bring in Frank Gore, right? You got to factor in Frank Gore being there.
And he's huge, and TJ Yeldon's nothing to like laugh at either.
Good pass catcher.
Yeah, so I think 8-8.
I think it's a little high. I think 7-9, 6-10.
I think it all comes down to what Josh Allen can do if he makes that next big step, and if he can stay healthy. Right, they were not bad last year when he was healthy, but I guess we'll see.
They might be coming down to it on the wire in the last couple of weeks that they play there. They play at home against Baltimore, away at Pittsburgh, and away at New England. That could be the biggest stretch of the Bills season for sure. That's weeks 13 to 16.
Where do you guys think they finish in the division?
I think third. I think behind the Patriots and behind the Jets.
I go second.
I'm going to go
in front of the Jets?
In front of the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to go second as well.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
All right, let's do it. So up next, talking about the Jets, we're going to move on to them. They've got a revamped backfield in the much ballyhooed Le'Veon Bell. Jeremy, talk to me about these guys. What do you think?
I'm so angry I didn't get any shares of Le'Veon Bell.
Really?
In my fantasy draft. I'm pretty sure he's going to be right up there with that big four.
Yeah.
Like it's those like Saquon, Kamara, McCaffrey, and Elliott, mm-hmm. and then maybe Gurley, depending on his knee. I think Bell's right in there. He's going to be rejuvenated. Adam Gase has fed much worse running backs to much better, not much better finishes than Bell, but like
sure,
he's going to do very well. They have a super easy schedule for the most part. They have a little bit of a tough stretch in there in the middle. And Sam Darnold, he's younger and just getting better. I'm very excited to see what he does this year and to see if Robbie Anderson takes the next step.
All right, Lee, what do you think?
I actually the complete other way with Le'Veon Bell. I think Adam Gase ruins running backs, and I think he's shown it a lot of times where this goes. And just offense in general, he's a defensive coach, and it That's why I don't get the hire, because they went from Todd Bowles to Adam Gase just defense for defense, am I right? So like, but I like the addition of C.J. Mosley, very underrated. Mm-hmm. He was one of the best linebackers in the league, and he came from Baltimore, right? They also got Jamison Crowder, right, on the offensive side. I think you touched about that there, Jeremy. So like, it's not a bad team at all, and it's going the right way. I just don't like the coach. I like the Jets. I don't like Adam Gase. What about you?
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, everything you guys are saying. I'm with Jeremy on Le'Veon Bell. I think he's going to have a big comeback here. He's fresh.
He's going to get the touches, right? So if he gets the touches, that the offensive line's not the greatest, but 300 touches to anybody could really be up.
And I think, too, that Sam Darnold is going to have... Well, I hope to see him take that next big step. You got to remember, how old is the guy? Is he
20, like 22, 23?
Yeah.
No, I think he's 22, because I think he was the youngest starting quarterback.
That was the first like, number he said before year, he just right? went right on him there. Yeah. And he's also your fantasy quarterback, so you're also on that.
He is one of my fantasy quarterbacks, but he's not my starter. But, I mean, if he wants to be, he can be. He'll start him
if he's there.
Anyways.
I'm also very excited to see the tight end after he does his four-game suspension, Chris Herndon.
Yep.
The guy born with an extra toe on each foot, or not toe, it was an extra finger on each hand.
What?
Yes.
Do they make gloves, special gloves for him?
No, they cut them off when he was young.
They cut off his fingers?
They cut off his sixth finger on each hand.
Where was this finger located?
I believe it was after the pinky.
Oh my.
Wow. All of us have our hands out just trying to imagine what it'd be like, and I hope you guys are doing that.
And I guarantee every listener right now has their hands out going, whoa.
Something about tight ends and feet, because there's Jordan Reed who also has all those bones removed in his feet too, eh? Or not feet.
Okay, I want to move off of bones
but
and stuff.
But regardless, quickly here, so I'm going to guess that both Jeremy and I then have them at third, and like we said, you have them at second?
Yes, correct.
Yep. Okay, so then let's move on, I think, to... I'm going
to
go bottom. Let's go bottom.
All right, let's move
on
to the
New England Patriots. Oh, not the New England.
To the Miami Dolphins. Lee, what? Lee, talk to us about the Miami Dolphins here, buddy.
There's really not much to talk about the Miami Dolphins. They're going to be bad. And that much is going to be clear. They traded Laremy Tunsil. They traded Kenny Stills. They're going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick, which doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think it's a no-brainer. You should start Josh Rosen and just see what you have with him, because this season's already
over. They're starting with Ryan Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he's like a player that, like, despite being on teams that usually tank, he gets the most out of his players.
Yeah, but that's just why I don't get it, just because you just got a third-round pick. You just spent a third-round pick, or was it a second-round pick? I think it was a second-round pick to get Josh Rosen from Arizona.
Yeah, it was a late second.
Let's look at the Green Bay model with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick is Brett Favre, but you don't have to start. Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't start till his fourth year, correct?
Yeah.
Third or fourth, regardless. There's no rush, man. Like, the NFL is a very complicated sport, especially for a young quarterback.
So, with this being week one, here's an under... a story that hasn't been talked about nearly enough. You have, in week one, you have the Miami Dolphins playing the Baltimore Ravens, and that's the person... So you're having Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Lamar Jackson. That's the person who's got the highest score on the Wunderlich test versus the lowest score on the Wunderlich test ever.
Lamar Jackson has the lowest score.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty wild.
That's
13.
Huh.
Yeah.
What'd Vince Young got?
I don't know.
He's definitely down there.
We'd have to look this up. But, yeah, there's not much to talk about these Miami Dolphins.
Kenyon Drake looks all right. And Preston Williams, he's an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
He got he made the team, and he was not drafted due to off-the-field issues. He balled out in preseason.
Over under 5.5 wins. We'll all say it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Under.
Yeah, we all took the under there. Not surprising. No. Anyways. Let's move away from the bottom, and let's go to Evan Scott's. We have another submission that's coming from Evan Scott about his New England Patriots.
You know, being a Pats fan is kind of difficult sometimes. I mean, you got the young gunslinger Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, Big Ben Roethlisberger, the three yikes. But all I got to tell for you this year is that Tom Brady is still in this league. Bill Belichick, still in this league. And so my prediction for my favorite team is the Super Bowl, baby. And I got two words for you. Josh Gordon.
All right. Woo, that was a lot. What do we think there, guys? Jeremy, start us off here.
I like his last two words there. Josh Gordon. I'm a big Josh Gordon guy. I have been since he was with the Browns. I'm very excited to watch him on the football field. He's another player I didn't get any shares of in any of my fantasy leagues. But I'm almost glad because I don't have to worry about what he's going to do. As long as he's on the field, I can just watch him play and not like cheer him on.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
He's the only Patriot I'll cheer on, but I'm pretty happy about that. And then they have like a pretty good receiving core now. See if Brady's going to fall off that cliff eventually, Father Time's undefeated, blah, 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 blah. And see what Bill Belichick does without Gronk.
Yeah,
first in the division.
That's an interesting point. Is without Gronk, Lee, what do you think?
I'm so sick of just talking about the Patriots being Super Bowl favorites year after year. Like, but they just keep doing it, and that's why we have to talk about them. Super Bowl, another one. I'm not on that train. I don't know if you guys are on that train. I think the Chiefs again this year are going to be my pick. But talking the Patriots. Running back core, all back. They all look pretty good. They also got that rookie there, too. But you have James White, Sony Michel, N'Keal Harry when he comes back.
Who finishes higher in the running, in like half-point PPR, James White or Sony Michel?
I would go with James White. I would go with James White, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought you guys would for sure pick Michel, but okay.
Why, do you have Sony Michel?
No,
that's why
I don't.
You're hoping?
I don't.
You're just curious?
Yeah, curious.
With these Patriots, man, I'm going to bet on them to go to the Super Bowl at least.
They just
know how to do it. It's young bull versus old bull, right? They just know how to do it. So I hate it. I hate it.
Oh yeah.
But man, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, I just think it's just written on the wall.
Can we talk about the division for a second? How there's
yes.
Tom Brady in the division and he's arguably the GOAT when it comes to quarterbacks. And they have three young quarterbacks in the rest of the division getting to go up against him two times a year. They got Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold. Yeah. So
all from the same draft class.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. You can tell almost like all three of those teams are just saying, we're just getting ready.
When's our time?
We're just getting ready for whenever he finally hangs them up. But man, how old is he? 44?
43.
Yeah, 43.
I guess we'll see what happens this year. But until he stops going to Super Bowls, it's just ridiculous to think that he's not going to keep doing it. And he's not really, he doesn't have it. He's not Peyton Manning where he's had, you know, surgeries and this and that. So
Vegas just changed their odds today. The Patriots are, as of right now, not the favorite. They were most of the offseason. The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Overton.
And I think that's fair enough. But until you do it, like,
yeah,
do it. So anyways, I think that about just up wraps up the AFC East for us.
That was a good little review right off the bat.
There we go. All right, so we're going to move on next to the AFC West. Sound good?
Sound good.
Sounds great.
Let's do it. All right, so we're going to start with the Oakland Raiders and our friend, our poor sports listener, Kim Wyatt McKenzie. He's going to talk about his favorite team, the Oakland Raiders.
Hey guys, how you doing? Kim McKenzie here, chatting in with Poor Sports. I just want to give you a little lowdown on my favorite team, the Oakland Raiders. I have been a fan since I was 12 years old, gentlemen and ladies. 12 years old. I read a book called The Assassin that had to do with a safety named Jack Tatum. He made a lot of the rules in the game change because he was such a beast. All right, this is a big year for the Raiders. We got year two with Coach Gruden. He's got a 10-year deal. I don't care what you say about him. The guy's a player's coach. He knows how to coach players. Okay, Derek Carr, year two with Coach Gruden. Derek Carr is phenomenal. His talent level is through the roof. He's got to hone in. He's got to know what he's a tough guy. He's a competitor. He's got a massive arm. And we finally have receivers. Okay, we finally have receivers. We got Antonio Brown, the best receiver in the game, year after year. I don't care what you say about him. Yeah, the guy's a little off kilter. Who cares? He's a celebrity, and he's the best receiver in the NFL. Do whatever you want. Live in an air balloon. We gotcha. You're an Oakland Raider. You're going to perform. It's going to be unreal. Okay? Dwayne Harris, one of the best returners in the game. Just another guy. Under the radar, you don't think about him, but you know what? That dude can return balls for us, and special teams is half the battle, guys and ladies. The O-line, one of the best O-lines in football, all right? I don't care what you think about the Raiders. We have one of the best offensive lines in football. Okay, Trent Brown, we just got him off the Patriots. That dude is a beast. Rodney Hudson just signed him, one of the best centers in the game. Man, some young blood on there. Colton Miller, right? Doesn't matter. Our defense, finally. Oh, my gosh. We have a defense. We have a defense. Yeah, we got rid of Khalil. His jersey hangs with pride in my closet. I love the guy. I love him forever. That's fine. But you know what? We got Perfect. We got Joyner, all right? We got Carl Joseph still on the roster. Fine. He's not even our start. Like, wait, the guys are stacked. We got great DBs, all right? Arden Key, unreal. Max Crosby, this young blood who made the team. You watch out for this guy this year. He's going to be making some noise. I tell you what. Anyway, Conley, another cornerback. This guy's a beast. Anyway, just watch out for the Raiders because they're going to be making some noise this year. And you know what? We're still Oakland, baby. Silver and black. You got to watch out for us. We're a bunch of bruisers, you know, living down the ghetto. Just want to play some ball, baby. Street ball. All right. Anyway, you guys run a great podcast. Keep it going. And stoked to listen to the next episode because I hope I'm on it. All right. Bye.
All right. That was a lot. That was clearly Kim knows his stuff. I just want to have a disclaimer to all of the other people out there. We did tell Kim to keep it from 30 seconds to a minute. He obviously couldn't help himself.
It's going
to
run as a theme in this division.
But so that was a pretty detailed breakdown.
Yeah, if you want to know every corner on the Oakland Raiders, you know it now.
I think that they'll be pretty not good this year still.
I still think they're going to be bad.
Yeah. Antonio Brown, is he still going to be one of the premier receivers? Does he fall out of the top five even? Or
it's a huge question mark. No one knows, including everyone on the Raiders. They don't know. Is he gonna not show up to games? Like, who knows?
So something cool that I read today was that people who deal with hypothermia, which he's dealing with on his feet, it is re-aggravated whenever you are in cold weather. So if he's traveling to Denver when it's cold,
they've got to have some high, like, we're talking about the NFL here. They've got to have some sort of sock that is made specially to keep those puppies.
Either that or he'll sit out at practices and not show up to stuff until he gets a heated sock.
Yeah. Well,
sponsored by
who? Yeah. Kim, I think, broke it down better than any of us really could. I think it's all fair to say that we think that they are a question mark. Yeah.
Okay. Well, since it's the biggest question mark, I'm going to use one of the two that we're going to bring out. Over under wins 6.5 on the count of three. Everybody ready? 3, 2, 1. Over.
I'm taking the under.
Taking the over.
I think it'll be 7. I think 7's the magic number in Oakland.
Yeah, I think a 6.5 line is a fair line. I'm just not sold on them. They were pretty bad last year.
I'm just saying 6.5 or over on the 6.5 on pure talent.
Do you have them beating the Denver Broncos this week?
No.
And in the division this year?
Yes.
Oh, man, I don't know. It's tough.
I like Derek Carr more than Joe Flacco, and that's like the super easy way to like that's judge kinda harsh, teams.
Yeah. Sure. That's kind of harsh.
Well, let's move on to the Denver Broncos Super then. Bowls. So, again, they're kind of one of those question mark teams in this division. Jeremy, do you want to talk about them for a bit?
They got Joe Flacco now, who's a veteran quarterback, but I know Lee's a big Joe Flacco guy, whereas I'm not. We talked a couple weeks ago, him and I, off the pod, about how Joe Flacco, you're going to look through former like Super Bowl winners. It's going to be Brady, Manning, Brady, throw Rodgers in there, whatever, and then you got a Flacco.
Sure.
One of these things and not like the other. Like,
well, it's just the Ravens in general. Who was that Ravens quarterback that won it like years ago?
Trent Dilfer,
thank you. Yeah. So anyways.
I'm really excited to watch Cortland Sutton this year as a wide receiver. He's a second-year wide receiver who's going to hopefully break out, I think. And then the running backs.
There's three of them.
There's two Freeman, Lindsay.
Yeah,
well, Riddick
was IR.
He'll be back, though.
I don't think
so. 6 weeks. They said 6 weeks.
I don't think you're going to use one of your two to pull off the IR on Theo Riddick. I think you can wait till like Darren Sproles gets cut or like something like that.
Sure,
like,
fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. They're just, I feel like this is a team that could perhaps surprise people.
They got a really good D-line with Chubb and Von Miller.
They got a good D-line. They do have, you know, like you said, kind of a whatever quarterback, but a step up from what they had last year. And every year, every single year, four teams make the playoffs that didn't the previous year. Right, so someone's got to be one of those four teams. I'm not saying it will be the Denver Broncos, but I wouldn't be shocked. When you've got a guy like Von Miller, who, you know, I understand it's a football, but Yeah.
They're pretty much just getting ready to prepare for life with Drew Lock, right? Like, that's what they brought in Joe Flacco for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got on. Don't got a lot on Denver.
Yeah.
Mile High City.
They're just one of those teams that is just sort of meh.
They're one of those teams that, like, you just see sometimes on Thursday night, Monday night. Yeah. But, like, if it's Sunday at 1 o'clock, unless you have a fantasy matchup going there, you're not really watching them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, let's move on to the Los Angeles Chargers. No Melvin Gordon. Still got Phillip Rivers, but he is 38. Lee, do you want to take the lead on this?
I think what's going to carry the Chargers to compete with the Chiefs for the AFC West is going to be the defense. Right, you have Bosa back again. He missed a little bit last year via injury, and now he's back. And that defense was easily top three last year, and they're going to be poised to repeat that again. I also think the offense got a little better. Even without Melvin Gordon, they have the suffice running backs to do it with Eckler and who's the other guy?
Justin Jackson. Double J.
Mm-hmm. So I like the Chargers this year. They have like the 19th hardest schedule, which like isn't anything to talk about. So
yeah,
I think we got another year of the Chargers coming into the playoffs here. Will they win the division? Who knows? That'll come down to those two matchups. Jer?
I'm a big Keenan Allen guy. Phillip Rivers is really good as well. Big Austin Eckler guy. They have like a really good offense, and the defense is just going to improve. Like the secondary there, they're like a really good team. I have them in as a wild card.
See, I was just going to say, I'm actually going to go the opposite on you guys. I'm picking them as a playoff team from last year that's not going to go through and make the playoffs this year.
Is that because of Melvin Gordon, or is that something else?
It helps that Melvin Gordon is not there. For my case, it helps. But I just think that I could just see this team taking a step back. I think that they might just be kind of worn out from the end of the year last year. It's hard to do it 2 years in a row. They were 12-4 last year. That's a good record. So
we'll see.
Hard to predict, but yeah, we'll see.
I'm excited to watch them in Kansas City play twice.
Yeah, and they go through a pretty brutal part of their schedule when they play, I think, after they go to Tennessee on October 20th. And then they play 6 of their next 7 games away from home.
Wow.
Right?
But that might not be a bad thing. Have you seen the attendance when they have home games now?
Well, they're playing at the LA Galaxies.
And the Galaxy average more fans.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. It's
Well, it's also the Zlatan effect, but yeah.
We haven't brought up Hunter Henry.
He's back.
He's back. And I think he's either going to be in that first group of tight ends with Kelce, Kittle, and Ertz, or that second group with like O.J. Howard and whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Just that second group, O.J. Howard. And
well, really,
for
second tier tight ends, it's like.
Yeah, I think Evan Ingram will probably.
Yeah,
be there
Evan
too,
Ingram,
right? Yeah,
Jared Cook, I think.
But yeah, let's keep on the AFC West here.
Let's keep on trucking and go to.
We have
the new Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs.
We got Joey Bell right here, the biggest Chiefs fan I've ever seen, and he's became a fan because of Alex Smith.
I don't know, man.
Let's hear this one.
There's not a lot to dislike about the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019. The name of the game for the Chiefs is dynamic talent. There are not many teams, if any, who can put up the same amount of players with game-changing playability. It all starts with the best offense in the NFL. They led the league in points per game last year and are poised to repeat that. 9 of 11 starters are returning, and they added a 430, 40-yard dash wide receiver in Mecole Hardman and one of the most elusive running backs in college football last year in Darwin Thompson. With the best offensive tight end in the NFL and a number one wide receiver who happens to be the fastest player in the NFL, you can talk for a long time before even getting to debatably the best player in the league at the NFL's most valuable position, reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes. Whether or not you believe Mahomes can repeat his otherworldly stats last year, there's very little evidence to suggest that he won't become an even more complete quarterback coming into only his second full season as an NFL starter. We'll shift to the defense now, but we'll continue to talk positives. The Chiefs have an elite defensive line, and specifically their pass rush. With Chris Jones and Frank Clark, they are poised for a combined 25 to 30 sacks from just those two guys alone. Between the elite pass rush and the fact that teams will have to throw the ball play after play just to keep up with the Chiefs' offense, my bold prediction is that the Chiefs will lead the NFL in sacks, total team sacks. With proven NFL linebackers and a combination of a former elite veteran safety and a talented rookie safety, the clear weakness of both the defense as well as the Chiefs as a whole are their cornerbacks. The Chiefs quite possibly have the worst group of cornerbacks in the entire NFL, which is a major concern for a team with Super Bowl boom or bust expectations. With teams passing often, the cornerbacks are likely to be exposed early. As the 31st ranked defense last year, the only way to go is up. And I believe that with the new additions the defense added, as well as a coordinator change, the Chiefs are poised to crack the top 20 in defense, which will give Mahomes and the offense all the room they need to take the Chiefs past the Patriots right into a Super Bowl appearance.
All right. A lot of information there about the Kansas City Chiefs. Lee, talk to your boy. What do you think?
Bold prediction on the Chiefs are going to lead the league in sacks this year. But
losing Dee Ford and Justin Houston, yeah,
I don't buy it, but I love the bold prediction part. That's a cool thing to add in there. But yeah, he broke that down quite well, I thought. The offense is what we all think the offense is, right? Like, it's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be unbelievable. I've said multiple times on this podcast, Patrick Mahomes is going to take a step forward, not a step back this year. I write him in for MVP right now.
Here we go. The last MVP that you wrote in retired. Yeah. Let's not get in on Patrick Mahomes. He might leave the league now.
That is fair.
He's going to go find himself somewhere.
That's a fair, yeah.
But the defense, that's the biggest question. ESPN has the defense projected to be 16th, which is right around actually what Joey said. So if all of a sudden they find their way into 16th, that team will be deadly and they'll leave teams in the dust.
Absolutely.
So I think there's no doubt in my mind here that they'll go over the 10.5 wins.
I'm just going to say, if the Chiefs have the 16th ranked defense, they are winning the Super Bowl. If they're that good, they're winning the Super
Bowl. Depends on who they run into.
They have a whole bunch. I'm not going to call them question marks, but there's a lot of risk on Kansas City. Because Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he has one season where he was the best player in the league.
Oh, I thought... was that you that wanted to rank the quarterbacks here in this division?
Yeah. We can do that. Let me go through my little spiel here. You got Tyreek Hill, off the field issues. Sammy Watkins believes in lizard people and is always hurt. You got Travis Kelce, who he's awesome, so we just won't say anything bad about him.
Cincinnati.
You got Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy, who you don't know who's going to be the running back there. Damian Williams has never done more than 50 carries in a season before. And then LeSean McCoy has close to 2,000 carries in his career. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You just got a whole bunch of guys that if something breaks, it could go downhill fast, I think, in Kansas City.
Huh. That's interesting because I'm high on them.
They're like a Ferrari. They're really fast and super cool, but one thing goes wrong, and boom, they're just gonna crumble.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is.
That is. Huh.
Yeah, you have Jake stumped right now.
You just rocked my world, buddy.
Let's try to keep it PG-13 here, guys. Honestly,
whatever.
So. Lee wants want to go Jeremy best wants. Quarterback in the division here, eh?
Yeah. Lee, for some reason, wants to say who he thinks the best quarterback is.
So we're just going to say on the count of three?
Sure, let's do it.
Best in the division. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Mahomes. Joe Flacco.
You've
lost your mic
seconds.
Privileges.
You have 15 seconds to talk to me, and after 15, it's done. Because okay. I'm ready, set, go.
Of these four quarterbacks that start, who has a Super Bowl?
Joe Flacco.
That's it. Thank you.
Eli Manning has two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would have said it over there. If it was the same quarterbacks and Eli Manning was in Denver, you would have asked me who the best. I want a winner.
Okay.
I hope we still have some listeners.
No, let me go in on this guy. Who's a better basketball player, Robert Horry or Shaquille O'Neal?
Who has more titles?
Robert Horry.
Facts don't lie.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's not a... Oh, my God. All right.
Trent Dilfer.
All right, we're moving on. Let's rank this division. I can't believe you right now. Let's rank this division.
Big Joe Flacco guy.
Jeremy, go ahead and just rank from top to bottom.
Kansas City, San Diego, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Then Oakland, then Denver.
All right, Lee, go ahead.
San Diego, L.A., Denver, Oakland.
You said San Diego and then L.A.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Kansas City, LA, Denver, Oakland.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with The exact same for you.
Yeah.
The exact same.
So we just have the Denver-Oakland flipped at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yep.
Two playoff teams there, though?
Yeah. You could definitely see that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we are going to go north to the AFC North right after this on Poor Sports. All right, everyone. It is your host, Jake Kelly. Time to make some bets. Sunday, week one, NFL football. Carolina Panthers, LA Rams. Carolina is getting 2.5 points. I'm saying Cam Newton's healthy. Curtis Samuel is looking amazing. And the Carolina Panthers are going to start this year off. Take the Carolina Panthers with the points. You heard it here first. All right, we've moved north to the, and we're going to start off with the ever-exciting Cleveland Browns. This team, ooh, they look good on paper. Lee, what do you think? Are they going to do it on the field?
I think they have a great year on the field. I think they're going to have a year like the Browns haven't experienced in a long time. And they're going to fall short of the NFL playoffs this year.
Interesting. Ooh, they're my division winner. Spoiler alert.
Talk to me.
Nick Chubb. He started off behind Carlos Hyde last year, which is probably why they got rid of Hugh Jackson, because Nick Chubb's a baller. Yeah. He's going to finish with close to 1,500 all-purpose yards this year. And then you got Baker, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Njoku. You got a good team.
You do.
One of my favorite players, and it's weird that I like, because like, this isn't usually a position I like, cornerback Denzel Ward. Fantastic player. I love watching him play.
Myles Garrett on that side of the ball,
as well,
too, who is really good. I think that's a guy that we might see take a, like, you know, put himself in the same category as, like, Von Miller.
Anytime we start talking up the Cleveland Browns, I just feel so bad for Joe Thomas. Because, like, yeah. Joe Thomas could have, like, if they would have put together one good season near the end of his career, he could still be playing.
Yeah.
And probably be the best O-lineman on this team. Because that's where they're going to need to find some help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Joe, he crawled so they could walk, I guess.
Yeah.
But, sometimes people got to take hits.
Yeah, I'm sure that people have heard a lot about this Cleveland Browns. Everyone probably has an opinion on them. OBJ, what do you think? Does he have a huge year with Baker throwing him the ball?
A lot of mouths to feed on that offense, right? So that's where you got to go. He's going to go from when he was pretty much the only guy in the Giants to all of a sudden Baker's got a – it's great for Baker. And OBJ is going to see a lot more single coverage.
Yes.
But regardless, so is Jarvis Landry because they're going to have to do something there. So is Njoku is going to do something there, right? Like, there's going to be guys all over the place.
Sure.
So,
I think OBJ gets, like, 1,100 yards. It's not going to be, like, crazy.
It won't be record-breaking, like, no. But, yeah.
It's first year with Baker and in the new system.
Sure.
Next year, perhaps.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I got on the Browns. I don't got
Jake, you got to make the playoffs, yes or no?
Yes.
Cool. Moving on.
They were 7-8-1 last year. That's not that far off.
No.
And you get a full year of Baker. And
I'm pretty sure it came down to a pretty pivotal game last year against the Ravens, yeah, where like Baker threw a pick real late in that game to CJ Mosley, not on that team anymore. But
all right. We are going to move on to the Baltimore Ravens. Lee, go ahead.
We're going to move on to the Baltimore Ravens, the best preseason NFL team of all time. They are on a roll. But we have a special guest in there. It's going to be one of my best friends, Graham Davey, breaking this down. Been a Ravens fan since I knew him. Let's hear it.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me. I will be talking about the Baltimore Ravens. My bold prediction is 10-6, which will get us a wild card spot. And for anyone that knows a fair amount about the NFL, it is obvious that our strengths are defense and kicking, with offense being our weakness. To add into your betting segment, everybody bet on Baltimore Week 1 versus Miami. The Dolphins already suck, and they just traded starting left tackle Laremy the Gas Mask Tunsil and wide receiver Kenny Stills. Baltimore has won 4 of the last 5 matchups, with a combined score over the last 2 matchups being 78-6. Yes, 78-6 in favor of Baltimore. This bet is my lock, and I will already be better at this segment than Jake. Thanks for having me, boys.
All right, well, Graham, I would tell you where to go, but this is a PG-13 show, so Ah, you can fill in the blanks. Anyways.
He's not wrong, though.
Not wrong. Definitely not wrong.
I think that the Baltimore Ravens are going to have a great year behind Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to have an absolutely monstrous year. They're going to really utilize him. Say what you want about his Wonderlic test, but the guy's a leader and the guy knows how to ball. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think Lamar Jackson breaks the quarterback rushing record this year. Whatever his passing touchdown over-under is, take the under. They're just not going to throw touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's going to be completely it's going to be a very fun team to watch. Almost the opposite of the Kansas City Chiefs, where they're going to run the ball down your throat. They got Ingram and they got him, and then they got
O-line's one of the best.
Yeah, but not a great receiving core. And then the tight end, whoever becomes the tight end in that offense, it's going to be worth having because Lamar Jackson can't throw outside the numbers.
Sure. Fair enough, Lee.
Yeah, I think I really like the Ravens. I'm high on the Ravens. I like what they're going to do this year. I actually think there's a good shot that they actually win the division. I don't know if I'll predict that, but I think it would be very doable. They're gonna feature Ingram. They're gonna feature Justice Hill. And to be fair to Jer, I agree with them with the passing. But when you run it so much, guys like Hollywood Brown are going to be worth getting because they're going to be the guys who stretch the play.
The Ravens kind of they kind of went under the radar with the Browns.
Yeah,
and then you know all the talk seemed to be, well, the Browns are good, but the Steelers, I still got the Steelers winning the division. Well, the Ravens went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
right. So
the Ravens won the division. So,
Anyways, Lee, what's their over under for wins?
8.5, which I feel like is right.
Under.
They won 10 games
last
year.
Okay, well, we're gonna do this on three like we always have been, Jared, so don't jump out to yourself. Okay, so on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Over. I'm taking the over on that. I think
they're going to be 8-8. And, I know it's really close. I think the division's really hard. And if I'm predicting the Browns to win the division, they're probably going to take one or two off of the Ravens. So I think it's just going to be hard for them to get there.
Okay. That's fair enough.
That makes sense.
That's fair enough. All right, let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the aforementioned Pittsburgh Steelers. So we have another fan submission. Lee, take the lead on this.
Yeah, this one's from Mikey Rothwell. He's been listening to us since week one, so we always appreciate that, and he always gives feedback. So let's break down the Steelers here.
What's going on, Poor Sports Boys? Been a listener since day one. Anyways, here's what you need to know from Steeler Nation. Start off by talking about the obvious. All cancer's out of the locker room. Can Juju Smith-Schuster fill the boots of wide receiver one and Antonio Brown? Last year, he proved himself under the spotlight, and we're all expecting a big year from him. But let's not forget about James Conner. Last year, 973 rushing yards, 12 rushing TDs. He was on pace to be one of the top in the league until he got injured. If he can stay healthy, I think they'll be okay with the run game. That offensive line, they've proven themselves. They're all veterans. Hopefully, they can stay healthy there too. That Steelers defense, adding a big first-round pick, Devin Bush, out of Michigan this year. Much needed help to the linebacker core, along with the help of TJ Watt. And obviously, big play Will Gay is an intern DB coach. There should be no reason why this team shouldn't be a top division team in the AFC North. And, we're looking forward to see what happens during week one versus the Pats. And, we're hoping for the stairway to 7, but I guess we'll see how the year goes. Anyways, see ya.
All right. I think I was, of course, very interested in the Juju Smith-Schuster. And if he can really step up for Antonio Brown. What do you guys think?
I think he'll do it, at least fantasy-wise.
Sure.
If I'm predicting the Browns to win the division.
Here we go.
I think they're going to take a step back, the Steelers as well. Mm-hmm. So he'll have good fantasy numbers just because I don't like the other parts of the receiving core. And I think James Conner will do well. It's not going to be like a world beater. Mm-hmm. And Ben, he can only be, again, Father Time's undefeated.
Yep.
So they'll 8-8.
You're saying 8-8 for the Steelers?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, on the Steelers, I'm higher than the Browns. I think this team was good last year. This team was like a field goal away. This team was a 2-point conversion. This team was a pick on the goal line, like from being like a no doubt the like division leader. Now I know Antonio Brown was big for those. Juju,
huge. 15 touchdowns,
huge.
Big.
Huge.
Yeah. But I still think Juju can pick up the slack. I think James Conner will go forward, I think, because that offensive line didn't lose anything. And if he stays healthy, he'll be there. The defense with Devin Bush.
Who's the receiver that they have now? Washington?
James Washington.
And Dante Moncrief.
And Dante Moncrief. It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not Antonio Brown, but it's not bad.
But there'll be targets there. Vance McDonald's a good tight end there, too, right?
Yep.
So, speaking, since Jeremy just can't keep jumping the gun, we're going to do an over-under on win total again here. It's the same as the Ravens. 8.5 on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Over-under.
Over. Wow. So you don't think that this division is very good?
No, I think they're like, just gonna beat up on each other.
They're gonna beat up on each other.
They're,
okay.
They're all gonna be there. Like, I think the Browns are gonna be 9-7. I think the Bengals are gonna be bad.
That's a fair take. It's a fair take. All right, let's move on to those bad Bengals. I'll start off on this one. Yeah, they're gonna be bad. They're just not a good football team. They don't look like it, right?
Joe Mixon's very good. AJ Green's good when he's on the field. I'm not the biggest Tyler Boyd guy.
He'll do, though. That's a new offense, too. So, like, they have a new coordinator there, or new head coach, sorry, finally. It's been a long time in Cincinnati.
How long was he there? 17 years or something like that?
And he only won, what, one playoff game, or was it even any?
I don't think it was even
Yeah,
one.
So that's going to be growing pains for sure. They're going young, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You can find every excuse in the book. The Bengals aren't going to be good.
They kind of did something interesting a little bit, like, a couple days ago. They signed Giovanni Bernard to a contract extension.
Huh.
2 years, and to make him the highest paid backup running back in the league.
I was going to say, how old is Giovanni?
Like $5.5 million a year. He's like a good player, and like he's the pass catching back, but like that like hurts all those Joe Mixon truthers out there who like think that he could be with the C-Max and the Saquons and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. I think I maybe misspoke of touch when I said they're that bad. I think it's just that this division is competitive. Right, so on that, Jeremy, where do you list your predictions for this division from first to last?
Yeah, so I got Cleveland, I got Baltimore, then Pittsburgh, then Bengals. And just something quickly to bring up again about the Bengals, I'm looking at ESPN's Mike Clay's projections here. There's only one game where they're at a 60% win probability or higher.
Wow.
Who are they playing?
Miami in week 16.
And so who knows what could happen. Yeah. Right? Like,
they might both be trying to throw for the first time.
They might be, yeah.
Okay, well. So Jake, what do you got?
I'm going to go Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
So same.
Yeah, but I think that two playoff teams for sure.
Wow, yeah. I don't know if I agree with that one.
It's tough.
I think 9-7...
Yeah,
10-6 is going to be your division winner.
Yeah.
So, if we already have the Chargers and we already have, anyways, I'm going to go Steelers to win the division. I actually think not much is going to change overall here. I'm going to go Ravens in second, just missing out on a playoff spot. Browns in third. Bengals are going to be in the Tua sweepstakes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on down to the AFC South, and let's start off with the Houston Texans.
Big couple trades.
Absolutely. They saw that Andrew Luck retired and were like, this is the year. And Bill O'Brien is the one calling the shots down there.
Yeah, because
like,
there's no GM.
If it doesn't work
for them, then...
His job's on the line, I think.
So what does he care?
No.
Give away all the draft picks.
But like he's a really good coach.
Yeah.
But he's a good coach, not management.
Yeah, so they're going for it this year. I won't knock a team for going for it when they think they can. With the division in the state that it's in, and with Andrew Luck retiring, I think that was just like, yo, we gotta do this. So,
but then it was so polarizing though, because then they gave away Clowney for like a big bag of potato chips,
and paid half his salary.
Yeah, like they gave away for two linebackers who like probably won't do anything and a draft pick. That's like nothing. They would have gotten in the comp.
I'm really petty where I just would have said sit out then. I don't care if you play for us, Clowney. Like,
yeah, I don't get that. Yeah, I guess they save half his salary at least.
Yeah, but I don't know. What do you guys think from Houston?
I think Houston's gonna be good. I think they'll be good.
Their offensive line, other than Tunsil, is in shambles. But I do think they're like Kansas City South.
Sure.
Because they have speed to burn.
Yeah. And
with Will Fuller and Kenny Stills.
I'm so sick of Will Fuller. He's coming off an ACL, I don't think. I think everybody's overhyping him now with Kenny Stills. I wouldn't be surprised if Will Fuller actually becomes the fourth option on that team.
Huh. Yeah. They got Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Kiki Kuti, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. And you got Deshaun Watson throwing him the ball. He's no pushover himself. Yeah. Obviously, losing Lamar Miller hurts them. All right.
We're going to keep things going here just because I think this will be a good one. Over, under, 8.5 wins for Houston.
Over.
Over.
I also agree with over.
Yeah.
I think, are we all going to say right here, division winners, Houston?
No.
Okay. I'm division winner, Houston.
I also am division winner, Houston, but I just think it's almost the opposite of the AFC North, that I don't think Jackson will be that good. I don't think Indy will be that good. And I think that we have three, if you will, we have three Cincinnati Bengals in this division.
Wow.
And one like
Ravens. I'm so against what you just said.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
That's fair enough, but.
Well, I guess we'll see. So that's what we got on Houston. So we're all high on Houston. Everyone's high on Houston.
Houston, we don't have a problem.
Oh.
Wow. All right, well, let's move on quick from that. Let's move on to the Tennessee Titans.
Next.
Yeah, right? Marcus Mariota, is he ever going to take the step, Lee? What do you think?
No.
I'm not even going to say he's going to take the step. I don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback. I think Tannehill has a shot to steal this job away from him just because I don't think he's anything impressive. Mind you, I feel bad for Mariota in the only sense is they've never given him anything. Like, think not of those really. Years. Like, those years, like, they've really not given him anything. I don't like Derrick Henry. Deion Lewis doesn't tickle my fancy. Mm-hmm. It was where I was going there. And A.J. Brown, Humphreys, like, it's all these
Corey
guys.
Corey Davis is a baller. He's a baller.
He's got to go to a different team.
Yeah, but, like, you said, like, they haven't given Mariota anything. Corey Davis is a great wide receiver.
Yeah, but he wasn't off the start, and then he got hurt, and then, like, he couldn't catch a ball.
The big year for wide receivers is year three. This is year three for him.
Are you, like, all in on the Titans over here all of a
sudden?
No,
I'm not. I'm not. I'm just a Corey Davis guy. Do you think so you said you don't think Mariota's a starter. Do you think he starts more games than Tannehill?
No.
You're saying Tannehill starts more games than Marcus Mariota?
Yeah. I think when do the Titans have a bye?
I'm not sure.
Because I would guess if it's like, let's say, 6 or 7 and the Titans aren't doing good, they have their
week
bye.
Week 11 bye.
Oh.
I think if they're going to make the change, it will be after the bye.
Okay, so then I changed my answer. I think after the bye, the Titans will have a new starting quarterback. So in that case, for betting, just when everybody's trying to bet, I'd bet the under on Marcus Mariota total passing yards this year because I don't think he'll be there.
That's fair enough. All right, let's move on from the Tennessee Titans.
Thank God, that was too long.
Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Who we have someone. I think you brought someone on.
Absolutely, yeah. We have our friend Cam Mills, a listener, who wants to talk to us about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The 2019-2020 Jacksonville Jaguars season will be defined by two things, the play of Nick Foles and the play of the team's O-line. On paper, Nick Foles is a huge upgrade from Blake Bortles, but it remains to be seen what he can do with a pair of middling receivers and a below-average O-line. Now, the O-line's job is to keep Nick Foles upright all season and provide running lanes for Leonard Fournette, who, if healthy, should be able to chew down the game clock and keep the Jaguars in close games. The defense is as good as any team in the league, and they should be able to keep them in any game throughout the season. My prediction for the 2019-20 Jaguars season is the team goes 8-8. They don't blow anybody out, but they don't get blown out.
All right, Cam. Quick and to the point. Essentially the exact opposite of Kim McKenzie, but that's all right. Balance works. What do you guys think about what Cam had to say?
Yeah, like, I just don't know. Like, I don't think 8-8's the correct answer, but I don't know if I want to go higher or lower.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good defense. They have a really good defense, and I'm a big D.D. Westbrook guy.
Pretty much what I think is that I really liked his point of the defense is going to keep them in any game. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you're never going to be able to get too far ahead of the Jags. They'll keep you honest there. That offense is just...
Well, it's year one with Nick Foles, right? Let's see.
Like, the O-line's nothing to write home about. You have no idea what you're getting out of running backs. If Fournette's going to be on, then at that point, Raquel Armstead's coming from Temple. Like, that's nothing special. Mm-hmm. D.D. Westbrook, and then as soon as you get past D.D. Westbrook, it goes straight down south.
Sure.
Right? So that offense, like, could be scary. And Nick Foles, we're going to see what he's like finally getting his gig. Like, he's going to get his gig here.
The offense is the island of misfit toys. And Nick Foles has had the gig before. He's won
a Super Bowl.
No, like I'm saying, like
oh, from
St.
Get-go?
He was a starter in St. Louis when they were really bad with Jeff Fisher. But
yeah.
Well, come on, let's not chirp Jeff Fisher on this podcast. Another great great mustache. Good coach.
Jeff Fisher is the worst.
He's the king. He's the king of 7-9. Yeah, he's the king of 7-9.
Yeah.
We're a Jeff Fisher pro podcast.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No. Lee has freezing cold takes everywhere today.
We are, and this is on record, we are not a pro Jeff Fisher podcast.
Jeff Fisher, come on anytime.
And we're going to move on.
Wait one sec. Instagram poll going up on poor_sports. What was the worst take? Joe Flacco being the best quarterback in his division or being a pro Jeff Fisher guy?
Those are two bad takes. And we're gonna just do a poll. Okay, we're just going to do a poll. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to move on to the Indianapolis Colts.
Who we have Tyler Morgan on here, big Colts fan, and he went through a disaster. Let's break this one down.
Of course.
This was a long-awaited offseason for all Colts fans. Ever since the divisional last year against the Chiefs, we've been waiting to see what this next team can bring with another year under its belt. Now with what has transpired with our QB situation, the race in the AFC South is closer than ever, and it could be the toughest division all year, winding right down to Week 17. I still like the Colts to win the division at 10-6 this year. A big strength is that we have one of the best O-lines in football. They had given up 0 sacks in the stretch of them winning 7 games last year, and we also have plenty of good options on receiver. The D-line has been tweaked and has added a baller in Justin Houston, as long as he doesn't get hurt, that is. And our young secondary is going to have another year under its belt for growth. I'd say our biggest weakness is depth at the linebacker position. Darius Leonard is coming off a big rookie year and is going to have to keep the same pace to make up for tackles in that position. And people also forget that when Jacoby Brissett took the helm in 2017, he had only been a part of the organization for a couple weeks. He didn't know anything about that playbook or who his teammates were. He's had all year last year to learn under new coach Frank Reich, and I think he shocks a lot of people this year and becomes one of the new emerging talents at quarterback. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Well, that was a heavy breakdown. Lee, start us off. What do you think about the Andrew Luckless Indianapolis Colts? Sorry, but he sounded like he was about to cry throughout that whole thing, and I don't blame him.
It's definitely not the best just because they were co-Super Bowl favorites at the time, right, with Andrew Luck. They were about to take a huge step forward, and they had a chance to become the next big dynasty, right, just with him coming back. But I actually am going to go out on a limb and say this isn't going to be the worst thing. I think what's going to happen is they're going to adapt well. And I actually think what he said was correct, that he was only there for the first couple of weeks when he first took over and it wasn't the greatest. Now he's 3 years. He's been taught under Andrew Luck. I think this team's going to roll. I think they have a little bit of growing pains this year. So that's why I don't have them to win the division. But I think they're going to be a good team.
Jeremy.
They're going to win the division.
Wow.
He's had like 1,200 reps or something, the head coach said, with the first team offense while Andrew Luck's been gone.
That doesn't mean he's good. Just because you have reps doesn't mean you're good.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying, like, he didn't do awful a few years ago when he had no reps. And I think he was a part, like, do you know who drafted him?
The Patriots.
Yeah. I think they can, like, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, who everyone's drooling over.
For some reason.
Who's proven just as much as Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
I think this division isn't like...
This isn't three Bengals.
Can I ask you a question? Jacoby Brissett is a top blank quarterback in the NFL.
20.
Top 20?
Yeah.
I would agree.
So you're saying that he's 20th?
Yeah.
20th. Right. That sounds about right to me.
It's good to be top 20 when you're in college and there's like 400 teams. It's not like you're not... I don't think you're winning a division with Jacoby Brissett.
You can.
Of course you can. I'm just not saying that this team will. I don't think so.
Like, you're crapping all over the Colts quarterback. The Texans, who I'm assuming you're picking as your division winner, they don't have an O-line. Deshaun Watson's
good. They have Laramie the Gas Mask Tunsil.
Yeah. And then four Joes. Like, it's like, I'm a big, like, O-line guy. Like, you need an O-line to win. And the guard that the Colts have that they drafted last year in the first round, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Nice like, voice crack.
Jacoby Brissett is good enough. They got T.Y. Hilton, Deion Kane, Paris Campbell. Marlon Mack isn't bad.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, fair enough. What's their over-under, Lee?
Over-under on the Colts?
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut it, and then I'm going to have to come back.
No, I got it. Number. It's 6.5.
6.5?
6.5. Wow.
Okay, count of 3.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Over. I think that's easy.
Like, that does seem easy, but.
Like, that seems pretty free money, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay. let's rank them. Let's rank.
Lee,
me?
Go ahead.
I'm going to go Houston to win the division, Colts to make the playoffs as in the second spot. Then I actually put a huge line here on my pad, Jags, Titans.
Sure.
I got Colts, Houston, Jags, huge line. Titans.
Huh. So I'm actually going to go Houston, Jacksonville, and then, I don't know, Indianapolis or Tennessee.
Flip a coin,
pretty much. I think that we could see Jacksonville win games 10-7, right? You just, if you give, like, if you can give Nick Foles, like, if
give
Nick,
him
sorry,
a drive.
If Nick Foles can give them 17 points, they'll win games, but...
15 years ago, that Jags defense would have ran the league.
Yeah.
But it's became such a different league.
It's become a different league. But yeah, so that's what I think. Anyways, that wraps up
the AFC.
So we'll take a quick intermission here. You guys can too. Maybe go get some water, hydrate, get ready, because we got the NFC coming up next on Poor Sports.
Go Bucks. How's it going, everybody? It's Lee Kuzmich coming at you with some bets this week. Since we're doing NFL, I'm going to stick that way, too. So I'm going to give you a couple games here. I'm going to give you the Los Angeles Rams -3. It's not even going to be close, this one, because you could take a money line, you could take the Rams. But I'm also going to take the listener, Graham Davey, with the Ravens. The Ravens are only favored by -6.5 against Miami, and Miami is terrible. So whatever you have actually on your betting account, whatever it is, you can go ahead and bet it on Baltimore, because there is no way the Dolphins keep this within 6.5. And that's what I'll leave it at this week. So take those bets, take it to the bank, because those are winners. Thank you.
All right, Poor Sports listeners, welcome back. Thanks for taking that intermission with us. So AFC, done. Time to move on to the NFC. And we had a pretty... important development happened in the NFL, in the NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys. So we have a contribution from Poor Sports listener Andrew Matten. Let's hear it.
What is up, Poor Sports? It's your boy, Andrew from Ottawa. Big supporter of them boys. That's right, your Dallas Cowboys. You guys wanted my opinion. You wanted my expertise. And I'm about to give it to you. Big D ended last season as arguably the hottest team in football. Through the final 8 games of the regular season, they went a blistering 7-1. I expect the boys to continue in their winning ways to start the 2019 season, an easy 3-0 start with Scott Linehan and his tired play calling gone. I expect new offensive coordinator Kellen Moore to open up the pass game. This will only complement the already dominant run game. Yes, that's right. Zeke got fed. Pay the big man. Also, look for Michael Gallup to have a breakout sophomore season, and for D-Law and the dominant Dallas defensive line to continue messing up your backfield. I have Dallas defending their NFC East title at 11-5. Hold on. We them boys.
All right. That was a pretty good take there from Andrew.
I don't have him on weekly.
Yeah, I think so. That was pretty good. So, yeah, obviously Ezekiel Elliott got paid. What do we think about that, Lee? Start.
The Zeke deal, you just knew had to happen, right? Like, it's like he wasn't coming back unless you gave him the money. They gave him the money.
Absolutely.
On what he was saying, so far everybody we've had on there has at least thrown us a little bit of a weakness, but I think it's like the most Cowboys fan ever just to spend like a minute and 15 seconds just absolutely complimenting.
Just pumping the Cowboys.
Just pumping tires. They're not. Nothing's wrong with our team. Our team's the friggin' best.
We're the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So
America's team.
Zeke got paid about $90 million today, or like that was the extension or whatever. Fun little fact: Jerry Jones rang the New York Stock Exchange bell today.
I saw this,
and the amount of money, like his like main company or whatever that he's like invested in the last 10 years, it went up $89 million today since he started ringing the bell. So that's like the whole Zeke extension.
What?
I know. It's like Comstock or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That's crazy.
It went up like 12% or something, and he has like so many shares, and it's nuts.
Looking at the Cowboys, though, just quickly, I'm looking at like the rankings, where they're projected to be, and I know it's projections, but it's like they're not top 10 in anything. Not one thing are they top 10 in.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, they have them at 13. Offense, 11. Defense, 14. Special teams, 24. So, like, I don't – 11 and 5, like, I feel like that's high.
It is. It's very high.
Okay.
They were 10 and 6 last year, remember. So that's just – it's only an improvement of one game. But they're division winners, right?
I'm a big Michael Gallup guy. Big Zeke guy. Real little Dak guy. Don't like Dak.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's been like at least 10 years since there's been a repeat division winner in this division.
In that division? Yeah, it's always just a competitive division, right? They're going through a bit of a downturn this year. But
Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly, yeah, I think.
Yeah. So, I think with Zeke being back, man, I could see them going 11-5. I could.
Offensive line still always as good as it is, right?
So, what's the over?
I was kind of wishing Alfred Morris got the start there with the Cowboys, because he's on that roster, and if Zeke held out, he was gonna see time.
Isn't it Pollard though? Who's
yeah? But Pollard averaged like 6 carries a year last year in college.
You'd have to. Yeah,
it would have been. It's just cool when like that offensive line, just because they can make anybody good. Just to see Alfred Morris all of a sudden just be relevant again.
So, what's the Dallas Cowboys over under for the year?
8.5.
Really?
8.5.
Ooh, I feel like that's good. I feel like take the over there. I feel like the line hasn't adjusted for Ezekiel coming back.
Well, that's exactly on.
So, really? For the week one against the Cowboys, they went from -7 at paying -105 to -7 paying -110.
Huh.
So not even a half point difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
It was just always baked in that he was going to play.
Yeah, sure. That's fair enough. I would take the over on that. I do. I give them at least 9 wins.
Under.
This is my toughest one yet.
I wouldn't bet it, but if you forced me, if you twisted my arm, I'd bet under.
Okay, well, they're going to start 3-0.
That's just it. Then they just have to go 5 and someone do some math for me.
Well, they'd have to go 6.
That's our teacher in here.
Yeah.
They'd have to go 6 and 8.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
6 and 7.
Yeah, 6 and 7.
Yeah.
We're learning on the fly here. How many games are in the NFL season?
Okay. They get the over.
Yeah, I think they get the over for sure. Anyways, let's move on to the Washington Redskins. This is a weird kind of team, right? I don't know. Jeremy, what do you think?
Trent Williams isn't going to... I heard a weird, really weird rumor today. It was Trent Williams to the Kansas City Chiefs for Tyreek Hill.
That is a weird rumor.
Like, yeah. Who's that from? Like, Chiefs lover?
No.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So you would think that like the Kansas City Chiefs would do that in a heartbeat?
I don't think so. Tyreek Hill's so fast.
I'm going to actually go the other way. I'm going to say yes, just because who would you rather have long term, Patrick Mahomes or Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Right? Trent Williams protects the blind side, right? Yeah. That's a huge position.
Yeah.
So
Sandra Bullock taught me that.
Yeah.
So
the Redskins aren't very good. Their medical staff's garbage.
Yeah, their owner's garbage.
The owner's garbage. Their starting quarterback's garbage.
Their name is garbage.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, just that entire organization. Just I wish you could just press the reset button.
I wish they would force Jordan Reed to retire. Yeah. I almost can't watch their games because I'm scared I'm going to see a death on the field.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know. I think you guys are very low on the Redskins. I actually don't think the Redskins will be as bad as what you guys are thinking.
Case Keenum's their starter, yeah?
For like 2.5 weeks, I would think.
And then you think they go to Haskins?
Yeah. It's just about getting them ready for the system. He didn't look that bad in preseason.
It's the Redskins. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything exciting. They're just not going to be as bad as everybody thinks they are, I think, would be my guess.
What do we think about Geis?
Good. Geis, Peterson, yeah. Like the running back core is fine.
Think like an RB.
Darius Geis or Miles Sanders?
Miles Sanders.
I go Darius Geis.
I'm going to take the offensive line with the Eagles and just that offense in general with the Eagles.
That's fair. Well, let's move on to those Eagles. We have a clip from our very own Avery White.
Hey, Poor Sports. Avery White here. Longtime friend, longtime listener. I'm here to say my piece about the Philadelphia Eagles today and how this high-flying offense has a great chance to hoist the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. I don't care that Zeke is back, but you aren't winning the division. You'll maybe make the playoffs, but you're just squeezing in at a wild card position. This season for the Philadelphia Eagles is going to hinge on the health of Wentz. As we all know, he's been injury-ridden for the past few years. As well, he's going to have to manage his hungry, high-flying offense. The addition of Jackson and the rookie Whiteside, as well as the highly regarded rookie Miles Sanders to this offense, they're looking gross. But let's not forget about Ertz coming off a franchise record-breaking year, as well as Dallas Goedert, which was a rookie last year, and look what he did. They can only get better. This offense is top three in the league by the end of the season. There is no doubt. As much as you can have a high-flying offense, though, you need that defense as well. We won't have the best defense, as the core group of guys coming back last year are coming off injuries. So the start of the season will be a little shaky. The addition of Malik Jackson, which is a great veteran, it'll be a good addition to the group. As well, Malcolm Jenkins coming off the season he did. The guy didn't even miss a single snap all season and broke a franchise record with 79 solo tackles. That's my piece for the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. We're going to win the ship, baby. Let's go.
All right. Avery, I love you, buddy. I don't know if they're going to win the ship. But I think
I don't know if they're going to be top five offense in this league. I think he actually said top three. He definitely said top three. Definitely not top three.
I think that just all comes down to Carson Wentz.
I'm going to go against you guys. I agree with Avery.
Wow.
I'm not an Eagles fan.
You think top three offense?
I think top five offense. Like, I think they're going to be a very strong
Chiefs,
offense.
Chiefs, Rams, and you think Eagles?
Yeah, the Rams might take a step back. The Eagles, they just have weapons everywhere. They got Alshon. They got Arcega Whiteside. They got DeSean Jackson. They got the best two tight ends, like, combo in the league in Ertz and Goddard. They got a whole bunch of good running backs. And Carson Wentz, who could win the MVP.
He could. He could.
Yeah, right? He definitely could. I think the Eagles are actually pretty thin at wide receiver. The second name Jeremy says is a wide receiver, is a rookie. Right?
Yeah. But then they have DeSean Jackson. Like, I wasn't doing like depth chart. I was just saying.
Yeah, but I think it's not like I don't like the Eagles. I have already our standings right here. But top three, I guess I'm just like hindering on one thing he said. The Eagles are going to be good regardless. Like, that team is good. Miles Sanders should be good.
The O line's really good. The D line's pretty good.
Yeah, they're a good club.
Yeah.
Their Super Bowl boom or bust, I think that team's kind of set up right now.
Sure. What's their over under?
Because it's got to be 9.5.
This is one that I'm very interested in. Yeah. You think 9.5?
10. 10 on the dot is Betway.
So they have a 10.
Can I bet the push?
Can I bet 10?
Yeah. Push, you just get your money back.
Yeah.
Okay, so count of three. 10?
Yeah.
We're allowed to say push.
No.
No, no.
No, you're not. Because if you whatever you bet and it happens to be 10, you get your money back.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't have to say push.
Fair. Fair enough. Okay.
So 10. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Over. Wow. So we are high on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I just think with the
I think 10's a good number. That's like, I mean, I think like 10 almost feels safe. So like, I'm just looking to get my money back, and I think it's not going to be lower.
All right, let's move on to who most people assume will be at the bottom of the division, I believe, Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants.
Yeah, we have Matt Brooks coming in with us with the predictions for the G-Man this year. And you know what? I think he spits some knowledge, in all honesty.
First of all, thanks for having me on, boys. I really appreciate it. There's no real glory in being a New York Giants fan, although in my opinion we do show some areas of strength. The first and probably most obvious to everybody is our running game with Saquon Barkley. He had a monster rookie year, and I have no doubt he'll put up great numbers again this year. Another strength is going to be Sterling Shepard. With Odell gone, I think he'll step up a bit to fill those shoes, and the same goes for tight end Evan Engram. Lastly, there's a possible bright future for the Giants quarterback position and Daniel Jones. He had a really solid preseason this year, and I have a feeling Giants fans will be asking for him as soon as things start getting rough with Eli, which in all honesty could be any time. The biggest weakness of this team is undoubtedly the offensive line. The O-line doesn't give Eli the time and space to run the offense, and doesn't do a great job of opening up holes for the running game either. Eli gets ripped on a lot, and in some cases he probably should, but I think he'd be a little better than he is with a strong O-line in front of him. My bold prediction for this season is that tight end Evan Engram will reach over 1,000 receiving yards. In the last four games of last season, when he was healthy, he put up 320 yards, which was second most in the NFL for those final four games. I think as long as he can stay healthy, 1,000-plus yards really shouldn't be a problem, especially early in the season, as well as the rest of the year, being that Odell Beckham isn't there anymore. My record prediction for the New York Giants this year is going to be 7-9. Thanks again, boys. First of all...
So I'll start off there. It just bothers me that you have Saquon Barkley and you aren't putting an offensive line in front of him, right? Like, I get that he's Saquon Barkley, but you need to have holes to run through. It's just that simple, and it just irritates me. Question now, does Danny Dimes, like, is he known to be able to throw the ball downfield?
Not really.
Not really?
He looked good. He's an accurate thrower, and he looked good in the preseason, but preseason's preseason, right?
Because I would, my question was, just from listening to that, is his big prediction is about Evan Engram, right?
Yeah.
If Danny Dimes, because I think it's going to Danny Dimes, and I'm not going to stop calling him Danny Dimes, early in the year, if they go to him and he is a deep ball threat or more so than Eli, because Eli, what, can he barely throw the ball accurately even 20 yards?
Fun fact about that, the New York Football Giants had two touchdown passes of over 32 yards last year. Eli didn't throw either of them.
Odell did, right?
Odell threw both of them.
Yeah. So
that's the thing, though. Like,
did Odell throw it and then run and catch it himself?
The Mr. Perfect.
I think he actually ended up throwing it to Barkley, in all honesty. Yeah. But I watched like quite a bit of Giants games just because they always get on prime time for some reason. It's always weird. But these last couple years have been sad for Eli Manning just because I think at least, I want to say at least 60-70% of the time, he doesn't even get three steps. He doesn't get a three-step drop. So that's why I feel like he doesn't throw the ball that deep because he just doesn't have time to look down there. And like he's at the age where he like sees all these guys coming here. And he's like, forget it. Right, like he's not going to try to outrun anybody. He's not doing anything special like that. So that's why I think I'm agreeing with your point on the whole, why haven't they built a line, where I think they stick with Eli Manning for a long time this year just to protect Danny Dimes, just because why bring him in there just to be crushed again? So
but that's an interesting point.
Once you pull shoot here, you're not going back.
Yeah, you don't go back to Eli. So once it's Danny Dimes' time, it's his time. So I think they try to wait on him, let him develop, because Eli could teach you stuff. Because look at Eli back when he was like younger, right? Like he could teach him whatever he needs. I just think maybe this year you draft, you got to go O-line. Free agency, you got to go O-line. Look at what the Bills did this year, right? The Bills like rebuilt that O-line all in free agency. Like,
why don't the Giants do that when you have...
You have the cap space. Who are they paying?
And you have arguably the best, you know, the best running back. If not this year,
the brightest future running back by a mile.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah, I get that. And he said 7-9 was his prediction, which is pretty much right on Vegas's of 6.
Yeah, I was going to say I have under 7 wins.
I was going to say under. But.
I think 6 is a perfect number. If it could drop down to 5.5 or 6, if it went to 6.5, I'd probably take the under. But if it's at 5.5, I'd probably take over. I think six is right there because they'll steal games here and there, right? Barkley can do that.
Rip off a 90-yard run or just carry you down the field.
You always have that like morale boost when you do like the quarterback switch, like, oh, we got to win one for the rookie and stuff like that. Eli Manning, 9 losses away from the all-time losingest quarterback.
Sad. Ooh, it's sad. Man,
taking the record from Vinny Testaverde, second place, Brett Favre.
Huh. Yeah, you survive that long, you get up there, right?
Yeah, that's true. Let's rank this division. I'll start here. I'll go, okay, Lee, you go first, because I just got my tongue tied on those Cowboys, Eagles.
No worries. I had this written down even before we heard everything, because that's what I think, and I'm just going to stick with my gut. I'm going to go Eagles to win the division, the Cowboys to come second and miss the playoffs. I don't have them making the playoffs as a wild card. Okay. And then I'm going to actually take the Giants in third. I think the Giants are just an overall better team than the Redskins are right now. And then I'm going to take the Redskins to finish the fourth.
I'm the exact Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Washington.
Yeah, it's the same as me.
Yeah, not to sound like a broken record here, but I'll take the Redskins in front of the Giants. So I'll go Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins, Giants.
Do you guys have Cowboys making the playoffs or no?
No.
Hard to say, right?
There's still more drama to be had with that team. Stack and Cooper still need to get paid.
Yeah, and but they'll be right in the. I think it'll be coming down to last week or last 2 weeks.
Makes sense. Okay, let's move on.
Anyways, we're gonna move on to the NFC West, and we will start with the Los Angeles Rams, the team that came that were the runners up. So. Obviously, a huge year for the Los Angeles Rams coming back. You got some question marks with Todd Gurley. Jared Goff just got his money. Aaron Darnold is just – I say Darnold? Donald, excuse me. Is just a man amongst boys, it seems. Jeremy, start this off.
This offense is going to go as far as Todd Gurley takes it. They got three really good receivers and Cooks, Kupp, and Woods. Like, it's a good team. We're going to see where this offense goes. Does it evolve? Does it take the next step? Or do teams start kind of trying to figure them out like Bill Belichick did in the Super Bowl? It's going to go one of two ways because McVay, is McVay the younger mind that gets better? Or is Bill Belichick still sitting on top of his throne saying, I have all the answers?
Yeah. I think they continue being really, really good. They just have such a good offense, man. They'll just outshoot you. That game against the Chiefs last year, you guys remember that one?
That was one of the best NFL games ever.
If you love offense, it was. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, if you're a defensive lover of the NFL, you probably turn it off at halftime. Honestly. You're probably like, I'm done with this game.
I took the under in that game.
That's such a weird thing.
What was
thing
the
to
under,
do.
Like 99?
It was like...
probably like 70.
No, it was like 60, 63 and a half or
something.
And you
probably lost at halftime. You were probably out there at halftime.
Yeah. That was crazy.
That was a game that was supposed to be played in Mexico, too, and they actually just like brought it back and just became one of the best games ever.
It was the highest over-under ever in football. I said, I'm going to take the under because...
Why not?
Life's too short to bet the under, Jeremy.
But yeah, I think the Rams are going to be really good this year again. I really do.
Yeah, there's like we're just gonna keep sounding like a broken record. The Rams are gonna be
Gurley's touchdown. Like, do you think Gurley holds up the whole season, guys?
No, I don't. I think we see this is Jake Kelly's bold prediction. I think you see Gurley take like a pretty big step back.
15 minutes ago, he just asked me to trade him to Todd Gurley.
I'm always pulling strings.
I think we might not see him take a step back, but I think the Rams are gonna shelter him. McVay's already came out and said that they want to make sure he's ready to go in the playoffs right? Because last year, like, he didn't look the same, right?
It was the exact opposite of what you want to have happen. It's like the exact opposite of what LeBron James does. Coast during the regular season.
Kawhi Leonard. Oh, my God, guys. This is the NFL show. We still can't go an episode.
It's a good analogy. But, you know, coast during the regular season. They'll be good enough to coast during the regular season. Not coast, but you get what I'm saying. And then, anyways, let's move on.
Let's go to the new boys on the block. The young boys, Arizona.
Yeah, and Kyler Murray.
New coach, new quarterback.
O-line.
What?
No O-line. Yeah, Patrick Peterson's gone for 6 games. The decrepit corpse of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh right there. They just started us off with the...
new boys, same story.
I don't know. I'm always going to be a half full compared to Jeremy's absolutely just drowning out a team there. I think it's going to be you're bringing Kip Kingsbury, coming from Oklahoma, right? And I think he's going to be good. He's been dealing with bad O-lines at Oklahoma forever, right? And he's also just dealing, right? So he's going to know what he's doing.
This is the NFL, it's different.
It is different.
Yeah, I know, but regardless of the point, if you've always had a bad O-line, you know how to deal with an offense to make it. They're going to roll the pocket out, right? You can zone blocking is a thing. Like, they're going to figure out how to become a good offensive line. Not a good offensive line, but suffice.
Okay, we're going to play a game here. Finish the sentence. I'll go Lee first, and I'll go Jeremy second. Kyler Murray's rookie season will be. Give me one word. Kyler Murray's rookie season will be.
Record-breaking.
Jeremy, Kyler Murray's rookie season will be...
Lee just used two words.
Yeah, we'll put a hyphen in between.
Yeah.
Erratic.
Erratic. Interesting. I'm going to say underwhelming.
Mm.
I think they're throwing this kid into the fire. I think he has the potential to be good, but, man, at least go the Lamar Jackson route, right?
And what do you mean?
Let him start later on in the year. Let him get more comfortable.
Okay.
Behind who? They had Flacco there. And anyone. As much as I'm not a Joe Flacco guy...
Sure.
We're a Joe Flacco pro fan. We're a pro podcaster, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are your worst team in the NFL again this year.
They easily could be.
And if you have any shares of David Johnson in fantasy football, go trade him before the season starts and try and get like a Nick Chubb, a Melvin Gordon, or not Melvin, Nick Chubb.
Okay, well, we'll put this on the podcast then. We're going to put up a podcast. Who do you think is the worst team, the Cardinals or the Dolphins? Because I think that'll be a lot closer.
I got to interrupt you there, buddy. We're doing a podcast right now. Do you mean an Instagram story?
An Instagram poll.
Yeah. That's what we need. It's been a long night here tonight.
Fair enough. Let's move on. The San Francisco 49ers. This is an intriguing team. They've got Jimmy G.
Jimmy GQ.
Jimmy GQ. Everyone thinks that this team, well, shares are high on Jimmy Garoppolo, I think.
Handsome Jimmy.
9-1 as a starter.
Yeah, right? Fair enough.
There's that there.
So what do we think? Jeremy, start us off.
They're going to be a very fun team to watch. I just like Kyle Shanahan as a head coach, offensive coordinator. Big Matt Breida guy. So we'll see like what he does. Him and Coleman, that's a pretty good duo back there.
They do have a good duo. That's a good running back.
Marquise Goodwin's the best field stretcher in the league. You got Dante Pettis.
In the league?
He's just the fastest. So I'm saying like...
He's the fastest than Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, he is.
Is that proven?
Yes. He's like won Olympic medals.
Wow.
He won the sprint for gold or whatever Ocho Cinco was running there. So
that's an Olympic medal?
Well, he also won an Olympic medal.
Okay. Yeah.
What's their over-under? Because this is what I'm actually... They went 4-12 last year, and I'm curious to see how much respect
I'm
going to say
their over-under is 7.5.
Interesting.
Keep going up, boys.
8.5.
Yep.
Really?
I'll take the under then.
I'll take the under too. I'm not buying that much stock in the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm buying no stock in the 49ers. I don't think this team's set up, in my opinion, to win. I think that offensive line's going to be terrible, right? The offensive line's not the greatest there. You don't know who you're going to get at running back. And the problem is with Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman, they've both been hurt. So, like, and all of a sudden, where Jerry McKinnon came in and helped them out last year, all of a sudden you don't have that option.
He didn't help them out last year. He was on the IR right off the bat hop, too.
Yeah. Okay. That even helps my point out more. Like, these running backs are all just filled with injury prone. Dante Pettis, they're saying, like, I'm thinking he's going to be overrated this year. I don't have a lot of shares in him, which I know bugs Jeremy over there because he's a big Dante Pettis guy.
Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel, two of the best kick returners ever in college.
So that's college, though. So. What happens is
when he says it, it's all right. When I say it, it's
turnabout's fair play.
And on the defense side of the ball, they don't really do much this year except get Quan Alexander from my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I'm still devastated about, but still not a game changer. So it's just Sherman and Quan Alexander. So I don't think the 49ers are actually going to be that competitive this year.
All right, well, that's fair enough. I think we all kind of are thinking that. Last one in the division, the Seattle Seahawks. We had a contribution from Poor Sports listener Isaac Francis. Let's hear it.
All right, Poor Sports, let's talk about my 2019-2020 Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are going to have a run-heavy offense this year with Chris Carson as their starting back and Rashad Penny as their second back. Remember that name, fantasy players. Rashad Penny will get a lot of touches out of the backfield, making it for a scary dual threat out of the backfield for Seattle with a great offensive line. And now let's switch to the other side of the ball, the defense. As you know, the Seahawks acquired Jadeveon Clowney, which is going to help them play their true 4-3 offense, which Pete Carroll wants to play. Clowney is an amazing football player, and he'll help this defense out greatly. And my prediction for the 2019-2020 season for the Seattle Seahawks is, unfortunately, I think the LA Rams have the division locked up, but they can squeak into the first wild card spot and get a decently favorable matchup for the first round of playoff matchups.
All right. The Seahawks are a puzzling case for me. It's just sort of like Russell Wilson carries. How far can he carry them this year? What do you think, Lee?
I think this running game is going to take them as far as they go. Russell Wilson's never thrown a ton of passes a year. And he always is he's always really accurate. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks there is, but they're like a run first and second down right? Which is why they have both Carson and Penny, right? And that's why they're going to go there. And then Clowney, like, they got him for free.
They got him for free.
Like, we could have made a trade here at Poor Sports and gotten Clowney, and, like, for that type of price.
After your take tonight, I'd like to trade you for Jadeveon Clowney.
That would be cool.
Yeah, he wouldn't bring the same atmosphere as me, though, right? So I can get us Jeff Fisher on this podcast, so that's always good.
Anyways, Seahawks.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I think the Seahawks are going to be a good team this year. I think it definitely benefits that. I think there's a big step between the Cardinals and the 49ers and then the Rams and the Seahawks, in my opinion. But I don't know. What do you think, Jer?
I think the Seattle Seahawks, the management process there needs to change. Because, as you said, Russell Wilson's one of the most accurate quarterbacks of all time. He's very mobile.
He doesn't like to run anymore, though, too.
Let him throw the ball.
Yeah.
I'm a big Tyler Lockett guy this year. Tyler Lockett. There's no one else on that team to throw to, and Russell Wilson will have to throw the ball. Yes, they have Penny and they have Carson. They had them both last year. They ran the ball an extreme amount. You lost Doug Baldwin completely. You brought in Metcalf, who already appears to be injured. And then
Jaron Brown, David. Yeah, Jaron Brown's fine. He'll be a starter.
No, they cut him. They had to cut him because
yeah,
of the
but he signed right back.
Oh, okay.
And then so he's going to start, and then they have David Moore hopefully coming back soon.
It's going to be Lockett, Lockett, and Moore, Lockett.
Yeah, but you also got to think defensively. Who are they going to lock down?
I'm fine with, like, Lockett's pretty. He's going to get it hit. He's going to eat. He only had like 70 catches last year, and he was like
Tyler Lockett. Cool fact, fun fact here, has never had a 7+ reception game.
Yeah, because they don't throw the ball.
They don't throw the ball enough. Yeah, yeah. That's fair enough. I just want to say that whenever I saw the Jadeveon Clowney trade, I was just taken aback because I thought that it was probably the best trade ever in terms of names. Jadeveon Clowney got traded for Barcavius Mingo. Those are some solid names, man. Like
those are some sweet jersey names, right?
That's I don't know.
I was hoping that Penny was going to go back to the Texans for Clowney. That would have been a theoretically good fit, I think.
Yeah, but Penny's a first-round running back there, right? Like, they want him in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Trent Richardson was a first-round running back.
That's true. They probably wanted it. Houston probably asked, and they probably got told no, realistically. So, what do we think over-under for Seattle?
8.5 is Seattle's.
They went 10-6 last year, so.
Okay, got 3. 1, 2, 3.
Over. I took the over, yep.
I took the under, but I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Fair enough. It's hot in here.
Let's rank the division. Jeremy, why don't you start from highest to lowest?
So we got the Rams, obviously, at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go Cardinals.
So, I'm with you on all that. But the thing is with that, that's exactly how it played out last year. I almost just feel like it's just...
Jake wants change for the sake of change.
But, like, how often does it happen that a division finishes the exact same? I don't have numbers in front of me. I would assume not that often. Maybe the 49ers take a leap. I don't know. It just seems too perfect for me to... It seems too on paper, if you will. Something's got to give, right? I don't know what, because totally I would go, yeah, Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals, but... I'm not sure. Lee, what do you think?
I have written down here Rams, Seahawks, big gap, Cardinals, 49ers. I think, like I said, I was against the 49ers.
Put it on the board. Lee versus Jeremy, 49ers and Cardinals. We'll put something on it.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
You guys have been at me all all night here today. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that does it for the NFC West.
Sports fan Jer here. Time for some more bets. It's the NFL. We will stick to the National Football League. I have Kansas City Chiefs going to Jacksonville, playing the Jaguars, and beating them by more than 3 points. Also, we're going to go to Seattle, which we just talked about. They're taking on the Bengals. The over-under is 44. Without AJ Green... Without an O-line in Seattle, you can take that under. That team, both teams will not score too many points. Follow me at SportsFanJer for Twitter takes and on the Instagram at poor_sports. Thank you.
All right, it's time for the NFC North. Only two more divisions to go. Jeez.
Time
is flying by here. So let's start with the Detroit Lions. What do we think is going to happen here?
Well, we got a guest coming in here.
Awesome.
Guest reporter Brian Whaley coming all the way out from Windsor, local team right there. So he's going to tell us what he thinks about this team.
All right. I'm going to start off here with one word to describe the 2019 Detroit Lions. That word is underrated. My bold prediction for them is to go 10-6, make the playoffs as a wildcard team, and for Matt Stafford to get that elusive first playoff win. New offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel has come in and implemented a run-first offense as the Lions attempt to change their identity to a running team who controls the clock while playing quality defense. Speaking of quality defense, look no further than the Lions' D-line, the strength of the team. It consists of Trey Flowers, Damon Harrison, A'shaun Robinson, Mike Daniels, Deshaun Hand, and Romeo Okwara. Health permitting, I believe that this is easily a top 5 D-line in the league, maybe even top 3 if it lives up to its potential. However, a glaring weakness the Lions have is at linebacker, especially with Gerard Davis being injured in the preseason. If the D-line lives up to its potential and can hide the weak linebacker play, there's a good shot you'll be seeing this team surprise many people and end up as a wildcard playoff team. All right, I'm going to...
All right, so the Detroit Lions, sort of a kind of a mystery team, in my opinion, right? You're not sure exactly what you're going to get from them.
No, they're bad.
They're bad?
I don't think so. You actually think they're going to be bad?
Yeah, so it seems like they might be a mystery team because we have all different opinions.
Yeah.
Jeremy, start us off.
Matt Stafford isn't like, he's probably quarterback 20, but they don't have the O-line that the Colts do. They have Kenny Golladay, who's up and coming, but hasn't really... Marvin Jones is a good field stretcher.
TJ.
Can you clarify what you mean by Matt Stafford's quarterback 20?
Like, he's a game manager.
Okay.
At this point in his career, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, Jake, about you, but I'd have Matt Stafford in my probably about 12 to 16 range for a quarterback.
That's where I have him. Yeah. And I think, like, especially with fantasy rankings, I don't know, I feel like he can just sling it, man, so...
He doesn't throw a lot of picks.
TJ Hawkinson looks like he's going to be the next great tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the first year. There hasn't been like a tight end that's taken the league by storm.
George Kittle.
In his first year?
Yeah, George Kittle.
That wasn't his first year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he lost his first year because of injury.
That wasn't his first year.
That's such a nitpicking thing. Like, he didn't play his first year. That was his first year playing football in the NFL.
Whatever. What do we think about the Lions?
I'll take it.
They were 6-10 last year. Like, I just don't see great. Not in that division. That division's too tough for the Lions to stand out, in my opinion.
I like the Detroit Lions. I think their defense is going to be, I think it's going to be exactly what Brian said. I think it's going to be a top 5 in the league. They're built all around, and the offense, like, they have a new coordinator in there trying to become a run first team. They have the guy to do it. Right, Stafford's a good game manager, as Jeremy even said. So all of a sudden, if they become a run-first team, he doesn't have to sling all over the place. I think they'll actually be a good team. Over under 6.5.
Under.
Over. I think, and I don't think it's. I would even put them closer to 8-8, 9-7.
Okay, so you guys.
Interesting.
You guys have both hated on my boy Josh Allen. Do you like Matt Stafford more in fantasy than Josh Allen?
Still, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay, we can put that one up on the board, too.
Sure. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I'll take the under on 6.5, at least taking the over. Jake?
Under. Under. I think that it's a too tough of a division. But
they've got 4 losses right there to Green Bay and Chicago.
Yeah. But if they can...
I think they split Green Bay. I don't think Green Bay is as good. I don't think... Oh, I guess we're going to get into it. I don't have Green Bay up as anywhere near.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings.
The only specialist that we don't have in this division is the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll have to do it.
So last year, 8-7-1. People were expecting, I think, a lot more from them.
A fully guaranteed contract to their quarterback. Yeah. They got free agency. They were they were throwing the ball a lot. And now this year, they've committed to more like of a running offense.
Okay, why? They have Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
They also have Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
that's like
he, so you're saying that that's not a great quarterback.
And they always they also have Dalvin Cook, who's a game breaker. Dalvin Cook's Cook's a better running back than Thielen or Diggs are a receiver.
Okay, that's fair. Interesting.
And I think they like with their defense, they like the run the ball and play defense. Like wear other teams out.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Yeah, defense is second to none, right? Like their defense is gonna be right up there. They got a chance to keep Anthony Barr. He was about to leave. Every report said he was on a flight to the Jets.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he just signed back with the Vikings. So that was a pretty good keep. Dalvin Cook stays healthy is a game changer. That's just the problem. We haven't seen a healthy Dalvin Cook. He hasn't been able to handle the load.
The thing is with Dalvin Cook, and like you know how there's always those stats where it's like when running back X touches the ball 20 times, this team wins and this team scores a whole bunch of points.
Yeah.
And usually that's the case because you run the ball when you're up a lot, right?
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, and he has like 12 games or something where he's had 20 or more touches. Minnesota Vikings only averaged 15 points.
Huh.
When he touches the ball 20 times.
Wow.
I'm not like...
It's a weird stat.
It's a very weird...
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That is... I don't have much else to say about the Vikings. They're just, again...
Thielen or Diggs?
Okay, count of three. One, two, three.
Diggs. Wow, me and Lee are on... Diggs.
Yeah, we're on a roller.
Are you also a big Jeff Fisher guy there,
no,
Jay?
No, he is absolutely not.
Yes, we are all big Jeff Fisher.
And we are going to move on to the Green Bay Packers. A poor sport listener from day one, Brett Lawrence, broke down the Green Bay Packers for us.
What's up, poor sports? Brett here, going to be talking about the Green Bay Packers. I'm very excited for this season, excited for Thursday, Packers, Bears, big game, start off the season, division rivals, oldest rivalry in football. Biggest strength for Green Bay, it's got to be the guy, Aaron Rodgers. He's always good, he's always dangerous. They're going to be playing a more run-based offense this year with Aaron Jones. But Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, that's a pretty good trio there for offense. I think that's their biggest strength. Their biggest weakness, though, it's got to be that secondary. Their secondary is very young. It's very inexperienced. They still got to get some more time in before they really get settled in and that they can play some good D on some of those big offenses throughout the NFC. This year, I'm predicting a 11-5 season for Green Bay. Pretty big, big, huge prediction there, but I don't think they'll win their division. That's the flip side. I think they'll get in as wild card team, and I expect to see them playing in at least the divisional round this playoffs. Thanks for having me, guys. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, so 11-5 and make the wild card. Kind of bold for a team that went, 6-9-1 last year. So, Jeremy, start us off. What do you think?
I'm just on the edge of my seat right now. He said 11-5, making the wild card, but didn't tell us who's going to win the division? That's nuts.
You got to let us know.
Come on, Brett. Come on.
Who do you guys think he meant? The Bears?
The Bears.
Lee?
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, come on.
You know, you're trolling.
I know, I'm trolling. The Bears.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy, big Green Bay Packers guy, big Devontae Adams guy, big Aaron Jones guy.
Someone, if anybody actually wanted to, someone should try to keep a list of
Jeremy's
big
guys.
Because like we've been rolling right now with big Tyler Lockett guy, big Breida guy. Like he's just like getting continue. Yeah, I keep going on the Packers offense.
The Packers offense is fantastic. And with Aaron Rodgers, he's a top three quarterback in the league still. I think they're going to be in every game. He's going to score as many points as they need to. Whatever the season-long over-under on points for the team is, I would take the over. I think Devontae Adams is my number one receiver in fantasy this year. I think...
What do you think about Matt LaFleur, the head coach?
Yeah, see, that's a big question mark.
Can't be worse than Mike McCarthy was.
Here.
Will Aaron Rodgers audible at the line?
Sometimes.
There is this big... You guys know about this,
yeah,
right? There's
I've
a big thing about how... Matt LaFleur was like, "Oh, he's not going to be audibling, or he's not going to be doing it."
It's always
going
to be the right call,
and it was like a kind of a power struggle between him and Rodgers, and just came out LaFleur said, "Well, yeah, he'll be able to audible." So it was kind of like, 0.1 for Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
But I think even the fact that LaFleur tried to rein him in like that was, I don't know, almost maybe it woke the beast up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers, man, he's A-Rod. He'll take you as far as A-Rod can take you, I think.
Yeah, I think just quickly on the Packers here, is just while we're all just praising that offense, that defense is just going to be horrible.
Yeah?
Like, last year they sold. Like, Clinton Dick's gone.
I like Ha Ha a lot.
Yeah, right? Like, so, like, when they realized they weren't going to get in, they became sellers, and that's where the selling came, was the defense. They're young. They're going to – so that's why
– having a young defense isn't always a terrible thing, though.
Yeah, but in an air raid offense where division where – most of their corners and safeties are young and not really much experience, that could be trouble.
It could be.
Yeah.
No, fair enough. What's their over-under?
Their over-under, I think, was just looking at 8.5.
Over.
Yeah, I think the over. I think they have a big bounce back here. I really do.
Under for me.
You're going to take the under.
And if I could actually almost make that my lock, I think I will. I think I would. I think this division is too talented all around that where you all of a sudden, I think they split the Lions. I think they get swept by the Bears and they split the Vikings. At that point, that's two. That's two divisions.
So you're telling the people that if they listen to this tomorrow before the game, before the Thursday night opener, NFL season, to take the Bears?
Money line, take the Bears. I don't know if I would take the -3 just because I feel like a 3.5 because I feel like a field goal could be right.
Sure.
But I think the Bears will sweep the season series with the Packers.
Jeremy's shaking his head no in disgust.
So I'm all about the quarterback matchups. We talked earlier about the Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Lamar Jackson Wonderlic score test. I think this is like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league versus one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Wow, you're that low on Mitch?
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, he's getting better, but they drafted him way too high. He hasn't played. He isn't like a football player for his entire life.
So let's take this time. Let's transition to the listener who talk to us about the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Chris Cassio, coming from Windsor as well. You're going to hear this clip and you're going to know he's a big Bears homer.
All right, who's ready to bear down? The Chicago Bears last year went 12-4 under the first year head coach Matt Nagy. I expect some big things still from the Chicago Bears. The only question I have is the kicking game right now, and Eddie Pinheiro. This guy is money from deep, and then he absolutely shanks, which, I mean, Lee could probably kick a field goal, you know, but the Bears, that's their one biggest thing. Ever since that double doink, I still can't sleep from Cody Parkey, but I believe the Bears will be, once again, kings of the North. I'm projecting just, you know, 11-5. Last year they went 12-4. Trubisky's going to have to step up this year. Their weapons on the offense, I don't know what Trey Burton is going to have to offer us, but I expect Allen Robinson to eat big. And everybody watch out on David Montgomery, the Bears' rookie running back. They traded Jordan Howard last year for absolutely a pile of peanuts. But I'm expecting big things from David Montgomery. The Bears are just raving about him, absolutely thriving. So I believe the Bears this year, though, they're going to go 11-5. That's my prediction. And take the over for this Thursday night. I think the Bears are going to win. As always, they're going to eat up those cheese heads. So bear down, baby. Let's go take that North again.
All right. Cool fact about that one, Chris. High school football, I have kicked a field goal. Kicked a PAT from 2 yards away, and it went straight up, and I'm telling you, it barely got over. But in my kicking career, 1-for-1. What do you guys think about that one?
I'm surprised that he said 11-5. They went 12-4 last year. I don't know. Jeremy's anti-Mitch Trubisky. I think that this team is trending up. Khalil Mack.
The defense can't get any better than it was last year. It's something like 8 years in a row or something. Like the number one defense hasn't been like a top three defense the next year.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan that they got rid of Jordan Howard. They have Montgomery, who I like a lot, Cohen, who I like a lot. I just don't like them double-digit wins a lot.
Okay.
They might get to 10, but
interesting.
So I'm more between 8 and 10.
So you're saying that Mitch Trubisky regresses this year?
Yes.
Interesting.
You want to go?
Their defense and special teams won too many games last year for them.
Okay. Interesting. I'm gonna take them to go 12-4 again. Yeah, I think they're good, man.
Top record in the NFL.
No. No, I think the Chiefs will be very, very good.
Yeah, Bears are my division winner. I think they're going to be great. Tons of weapons on the offensive side, like they said. Taylor Gabriel is not even like mentioned there, and he's still like last year. He still had a crazy year. That defense, while Jeremy is right, like you can't get better than what you did. They sure will be close, and I think because they didn't really lose much, right? And plus they're bringing it back, and with the air raid offense of this division, you need corners, safeties, good linebackers.
We could see three playoff teams in this division.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I actually have that written down. I've been starring all my playoff teams, and that's what I have written down. But, yeah, so let's get into it. Are we all done with the Bears? Anybody got anything on the Bears?
No.
So let's get into it. So, Jake, how about you lead us off? What do you got for this division?
Bears, Packers, Vikings, Lions.
Lee?
Bears, Vikings, Lions, Packers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, who's your number two?
Bears, Vikings, Lions, okay. Packers.
I thought we didn't have any similar ones. I'm going Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions.
We are split on this division. This
division's almost kind of like the North, like the NFC North, or the AFC North, sorry.
Yeah.
And where it's just like, all the teams could be right there with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I do give the edge to the Lions is just I don't know what I'm going to expect from them. It's like just like a wild card factor. Meanwhile, I know I'm getting a bad defense with the Packers.
Fair enough.
My only reason.
Fair enough.
All right. We are in the home stretch. We have
the best
one
division.
More division. That is the NFC South.
Let's make Lee suffer. Let's make him wait till the
end. Yeah,
this is
the division with Lee's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Please don't click off.
We are going to start at the top last year. The 13-3 New Orleans Saints. Jeremy, you have some strong feelings about Drew Brees. Why don't you tell the people?
Drew Brees, I've said this three times. I guess this podcast is almost 2 hours, so that's not too bad. Once every 40 minutes or so, I say, Father Time is undefeated. And Drew Brees, I'm...
Put it on a t-shirt.
The second half of last season, he wasn't throwing the ball as well as he did early on.
He was unstartable in fantasy.
Yeah, it was bad. I was lucky I got rid of him at our deadline. Drew Brees, I think I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying I think it's more possible than one might think that his arm essentially falls off and it goes to like the Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray show.
I think the Saints do and have one of the best backups in the league, though.
What's the guy's name?
Teddy Two Hands.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. And then, does anyone know what their third string guy is?
That's the guy that plays special
Taysom
teams.
Hill.
Yeah, he like kicks. He's on the special team.
Fullback. Running back. Wide receiver.
Weird.
Tight end. Quarterback. Kick returner.
Yeah.
So you're saying that? Are you saying that the Saints take a step back this year from 13-3?
Yeah, from 13-3. I still think I have them winning the division.
Okay.
Michael Thomas, as of this podcast recording, highest paid wide receiver in the league.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a top three wide receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's really good. Alvin Kamara, really good.
Really good.
Drew Brees, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Latavius Murray, perfect fit for that Mark Ingram spot right there. He's one of the better guys there, too.
Yep.
Defense is young and upcoming still. Lattimore, those guys in the back.
Sean
right?
Payton, really good head coach.
Yeah. For sure.
Bounty system.
I don't really.
Yeah.
Drew Brees' age is the only real knock against
this
team.
I agree. And yep. Anyways, A second wide receiver. Yeah, sure. But Drew Brees theoretically makes a receiver.
Yeah, between
Ted
Ginn and Tre'Quan Smith, though.
You find one. Yeah. Let's move on. The Carolina Panthers. For me, this is just kind of a polarizing team because if Cam Newton's healthy, we've seen they're. A very good team. Will his shoulder be what they want it to be?
Will he be able to walk?
Yeah.
Like
all these things, right? Jeremy, start us off. What do you think about the Carolina Panthers?
They got two really good receivers. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel. I don't know if Cam Newton's going to be the one that can get them the ball as much as they should get the ball. I think Craig Olsen should probably retire because Ian Thomas is very good.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey will probably break this year. He's not getting 1,000.
Yeah, see, you've been big on the Christian McCaffrey's body is not going to hold up this year.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting, something interesting to keep an eye on. I don't know about that, but it's very hard to predict injuries, but yeah.
Other than that, like, they're a good team. I think they're probably, they're an average team, I think. Average to good. 8 or 9 wins.
Interesting. Lee?
I'm going to have the Panthers on the lower end. I don't know what I'm getting from Cam Newton. If Cam Newton goes down, those backup quarterbacks all of a sudden become scary. Like, right? So, like, Will Greer is probably the backup there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's a first-year kid out of West Virginia, right? You're questioning. You don't even know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, plus, once again, it's another one of these things where it's we can talk. We're all big fantasy guys where we talk offense, but defense is half the battle right there.
For
and
sure.
That's a defense that's not going to be the greatest this year
mm-hmm.
and definitely going to be the second worst in that division.
All right. So let's do an over-under on the Panthers.
7.5.
That's their line, 7.5. And they went 7-9 last year.
Yep.
With a half-broken Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the over on them. I think they have a good.
Jake and I are finally on the same page.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, that means you should fade it. And then at that point, I'm going to go under.
You're going to go under?
Yeah.
That's fair enough, right? Because if Cam Newton can't play or his shoulder, you know, isn't where it needs to be.
It would have been a different story if he would have gotten through preseason healthy. But the fact that he was already hurt in a preseason game already just scares me. I know it's not the shoulder. But who knows?
Fair enough. All right, Lee, we'll put you out of your misery here.
Yes, you're gonna put us ahead. You're gonna put us ahead.
Go off on these Tampa Bay.
I'll just turn off our mics, Jake.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, here we go. I'm gonna break down your Tampa Bay Buccaneers for this year. And this 2019 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last year we went 5-11, which got us the 5th overall pick, where we picked Devin White. But I'm gonna break down last year's season because there was a bunch of things that went wrong, that went well. So I'm going to give it to you both. I'm going to see how we improve. So the Buccaneers last year had the NFL's number one ranked passing attack on total net yards, right? And they were 4th with total passes. They averaged 8.57 yards per pass, which was number 2. They had also 345 first downs, which also gets us tied for number 2 with the Kansas City Chiefs. So everything last year clicked offensively. Passing wise, the rushing, that's where it took a downhill. We had 857 yards for Peyton Barber. Then Jameis Winston was our second best rusher last year, so that's never what you like to see, and it's going to probably be about the same this year. We don't really have a running back. But another thing, and on the defensive side, because I will be saying a lot of bad things about this defense in the next couple seconds here, but last year, or in 2017, we only had 22 sacks, which was good for dead last in the NFL. They made it a priority in the offseason, and last year we got 16 more sacks up to 38. Big thanks to Jason Pierre-Paul. So now we're up to 38 sacks, middle of the pack, which is still a really good improvement. And now with improvements that have come in this year, I think that can only grow. But enough talking about the positives because we did go 5-11. I'm going to break this down. I have it the bad, the worst, and the horrible. The bad stat, we had a minus 18 turnover differential last year, which got the honor of the second last, only behind the 49ers. The Bucs also went 7 weeks of the season, causing only one turnover in the middle of the year last year, and that turnover was actually on special teams. So the defense didn't get one turnover for 7 games last year. So that's bad. That's got to improve. The worst, if you follow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we've been an absolute laughingstock kicking-wise. We haven't had a good kicker in what seems like forever. Last year, our woes continued. It felt like the 100th season in a row with it. We were 29th in the league with accuracy, finishing the league at 74.5. So that's got to hopefully change. And here's the horrible, and this is one of the worst stats maybe I've ever listened of all time. You guys can kick on your mics if you guys want to react to this one, because this one's bad. The red zone. Last year, the Buccaneers' opponents breached the red zone 58 times, which isn't a bad stat, right? 58 times, bad, not the worst. And they came away with 45 touchdowns last year in the red zone, which then led to a touchdown efficiency of 77.6% for teams.
Oh, my God.
Which, guys, actually isn't only last in the league. It's actually last in the millennium. Since 2000. It's the worst red zone efficiency last year since 2000. And it belonged to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. So that's definitely definitely has to improve next year. You can't go into the red zone just knowing you're going to give up a touchdown every time. That's bad. So, but now we're going to get on to 2019, right? So I have two predictions here. I have 8-8/9-7, and I also have 5-11.
And so there's three predictions for the record.
Yeah, but the only reason why I have this, the first two will be on if we beat Carolina week two. I think we'll be 8-8 or 9-7. If we lose to Carolina week two, we'll be 5-11. I'll be looking at mock drafts, give or take week six.
So how do you bet that online? How do you like? Well, if they win week two,
well, I don't think the win totals will be going up a crazy amount. So right now they have it at 6.5. A lot of people will be taking the under there. Probably you too as well. But here's how I have us to change this year and what I think will happen. Our offense is just going to hopefully stay the same. Our offense last year was unbelievable. We're going to hopefully run the ball a little better, but Bruce Arians has always had a good running back. That's the thing when he's been a coach, he's always had it. He had David Johnson when he had one of his best years. Andre Ellington was a top 10 running back out of nowhere. He's been that type of guy. So if we can get all of a sudden a rushing game right there with our passing, it will keep us in games big time. Which would end up being easily a top five offense. Defense, nowhere near as bad as last year. Like, we can't be. Six of our eight draft picks this year were on defensive players, led by number five overall, Devin White, who are going to have a lot of people picking as your defensive rookie of the year. And adding Dominic Nsue was a big pickup for our D-line. And we also added Buchanan. He was a safety for Arizona back in the Bruce Arians day. And he was actually, like, when it was the no-fly zone originally, he was one of the best there. So we picked him back up. He didn't play last year because he was nursing injuries. So that was actually a pretty good pickup, too. We also have a new defensive coordinator in Todd Bowles, the Jets' old head coach, where he is a defensive guy. Now he's just come back as a defensive coordinator doing his own thing. We're going to play an aggressive scheme. So I actually like the Bucs defense this year to grow. We're still going to be nothing special, but I don't think we're going to be as bad as what everybody thought we were. And special teams, one of those other two picks we used in this draft was on kicker Matt Gay from Utah. He's had a fantastic preseason. He went 5 for 6, which obviously isn't the best, but he's also, the big part here is that he went 2 for 2 from 50 plus, including a 55 yarder and a 54 yarder, both to win games in preseason. So it shows the clutchness there. And he went 3 for 3 on extra points, which has always been a big point for us now that it's been moved back. So 6.5, take the Bucks over. What'd you think? That was a lot, but come on.
I feel like I'm an expert on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. Exactly. The team that I literally cared about the absolute least.
Yep. We got to be ahead of the Titans now, probably ahead of the Dolphins. Like, you know,
Finish the sentence.
Yep.
Jameis Winston will have a blank year.
That's not finishing the sentence. That's,
you know what I mean. Fill in the blank.
He will have a... I'm trying to think of a word where it's going to be a big contract. Like, I think he has this big of a year where he's going to get a huge contract.
So Jameis Winston has a good year?
Yeah, has a huge
Huge. I guess we'll just go huge. Jameis Winston has a huge
year. Jeremy, what do you think? Jameis Winston has a blank year.
Decent year.
I'm going to say Jameis Winston has a Jameis Winston year. Just a typical Jameis Winston. I think we got Jameis Winston. We
know offensive who he weapons is. Are just loaded.
Through that encyclopedia of knowledge Lee threw at us,
yep.
The things I picked out was he was telling me all about last year's passing attack under the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They lost Fitzmagic.
That's true.
That was a big part of it.
That was a huge part of it.
Yeah, and I would agree with that if Fitzmagic's number one receiver, it was DeSean Jackson, right? So when Jameis Winston came back, he targeted Mike Evans the most. That's where Godwin got his most targets. O.J. Howard was hurt last year, so he comes back. And then Humphreys actually was like second on our team in targets. He leaves. So that gives other people chances like O.J.
And then Lee and all his friends that have like, the listeners that have told us about their teams this year, Lee told me that he doesn't like kickers in the league. They all bring up kicking.
Yeah.
I think kicking's just a roll of the dice for the most part. The only guy I'm listening to anything about, I'm like, yeah, Justin Tucker is good for the Ravens.
Yeah.
But like other than that, they're just all...
Houston has a good guy, that Hawaiian dude.
Kaimi?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's good. Anyways, thanks for that, Lee. That was a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go down the division quick.
We got to do the Falcons real quick.
All right.
Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. Mohamed Sanu can throw the ball very, very hard. What do you guys think about the Falcons this year? Calvin, they went 7-9.
Calvin Ridley's very good. Devontae Freeman's very good. The backup running back there is bad, so I would buy Devontae Freeman anywhere you can.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Hooper's the tight end that I quite like. They play a lot of their games in domes to start the year where Matt Ryan's good. The defense isn't great, but it's going to be improved.
Yeah, I think they improve on 7-9. Just looking at this division from last year, 13-3 for the Saints, 7-9 for the Falcons and the Panthers, and 5-11. That's a bad division. Like
that division is like the most like 1 year. It's unbelievable, and we'll have three playoff teams. The 1 year we had a shot at four.
Yeah, that's crazy. But Atlanta Falcons. I don't know. I think that they'll. Do you think they make the playoffs?
Yes.
I think that's a team that I could see making the playoffs.
Last year they were really hurt on the no running back, right? Because they lost Freeman, and I think let's go back to the year when Freeman was there and they won the division and they were in the Super Bowl.
All right,
rank them.
Let's rank this division. I'll start: New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, Tampa Bay Bucks.
New Orleans, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Carolina.
Yes, Jer. Yes.
And Lee.
New Orleans, Atlanta, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then the other guys.
All right. There you have it. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. The NFL preview show from Poor Sports. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much to all the people who contributed and added their expertise. If we know one thing, we know it's going to be an absolutely awesome year in the NFL, as it always is. So once again, thanks so much for listening to the Poor Sports Podcast. Like us and follow us on Instagram at poor_sports. Follow us on or subscribe to us on the Apple Podcasts and iTunes and really anywhere else that you get your podcast. Again, thanks so much for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Thanks a lot. Poor Sports.
Poor Sports. Poor Sports. I could feel your heart.